Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Saying from Reggie, for Lumi.
Oh, didn't know his last name.
Fizumi.
Is it?
Philomie is like a weird Mario sex thing.
It is.
Ew!
Don't judge Mario.
It's
Mario
Mario.
Philomie Mario. Yeah, it's really.
Oh, Pauline. Philomie.
That's, hey, don't, not here to judge.
He's done with Peach, moving on.
Moved on to Pauline. Pauline's giving him some shit.
He's got political power. Political power.
What's good, internet? I almost said, what's good, Waypoint, because I lost what was good about Waypoint for a minute. It is.
Feel me.
It is June 13th, I believe, 2017, day one, technically, of E3, or day three, depending on how
day
you count
12.
It. Day 12.
Day 12. Of the Great War of E3.
I'm Austin Walker, joining me Patrick Klepek, Rob Zachney, Danica Harrod. We've been to the front lines. We've seen the masses starving and hungry and ready to play video games.
Did they not get to
play any video games?
No, it's just the lines are bad for them.
It was wild to pull
up to the LA Convention Center today and just see thousands of people waiting out front.
Yeah,
because that's not what E3 normally is.
There's always a scrum outside the entrance hall, mm-hmm. but that scrum is also never in a line. It's always just been a sea of people, and that sea disappears instantly as people go to do their thing.
It's always almost a relief where it's like, oh, there's so many people out here, and then the doors open, like, oh, everyone dispersed because they don't have things to go do.
Yep.
That was not the case today so much. It felt
around the block. It reminded me a lot of, as someone who goes to Anime Expo every year at the LA Convention Center, it reminded me a lot of that because, like, just lines of attendees, like, completely around the whole block.
But also, E3 has been way worse in the past. Like, when it was a, like, yes, this is...
Compared to last year, but last year was exceptionally small.
And 2 years ago, it was, like, in some ways felt like a ghost town. Like, E3 has been... So yes, it is packed, but I have been to far worse E3s relative to the recent history, or long history.
So who, like, spent time on the floor? Because, like, I was basically in appointments open to close. Danica just...
Me and Danica, like, once we'd finished our Sony appointments, like, I was just on the floor for about 2 hours.
What was your impression of the floor?
I mean, as someone who's never been to E3 before, I was taken aback when I walked in. I was, like, overwhelmed with how cool stuff looked. Like, the Shadow of War booth looked like a fucking Disneyland attraction.
I saw you
take
selfies with an orc.
I took selfies with an orc because there was just a group
of
orcs.
What was his orc? Did he have a name?
He said, tag me. I know you're an influencer. And then I was like, all right.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah.
Did you kill him for that?
Did you get a video?
Danny got video.
Oh, that's a good point. We actually have videos that will be going up all week that are not yet out there.
Tag me, I know
you're an infant.
Yeah.
He's actually just quoting a line that Bruce says in the game.
I see.
That's definitely a classic orcism.
We also had another encounter with someone who was in full Assassin's Creed garb.
Were they cosplayer or were they?
It's hard to tell. Because E3 has, like, so many professional cosplayers.
He looked really good, so I'm pretty sure he was just there for the Ubisoft booth. Ubisoft.
Ubiquitous software.
I never know. So yeah, we went to the Ubisoft booth to talk to some people who were in line for Mario Rabbids. There was a sign that said 120 minute wait.
Yo.
Yeah.
Bad yo.
And there was a guy behind it that we talked to who was really excited. But then, like, in the video, you'll see it. An Assassin's Creed guy comes up and goes and puts his knife in Danny's face and is like he's watching him and then walks away.
It's me, Ezio.
Don't add up.
What's Philomia?
Keep up out of it.
What's he say?
When he's
in the name of the Father, like that's that's what he said.
Yeah,
I'm gonna kill you.
And actually, he probably, I'm gonna kill you up with this knife.
The thing is, like, I like that Rabbids game more than I thought I would.
Yeah,
I didn't 120-minute wait like it.
If anything related to Nintendo has an extraordinary wait, like their whole booth. Which,
New Dog City, right?
I didn't go in yet.
Yes. Or I guess they call it something else. What's the
Metro
Metropolis?
Metro Kingdom. But I've heard Bill Trennan say New Dog City.
Right, but like in the, like I actually played 30 minutes of that today. Yes. And like when you're choosing the stage select, it is listed as that. So
I didn't get to see that part. I really want to because they're giving away visors for anyone who plays Odyssey.
Like not in the private area. No visor for me.
Right?
You're a VIP.
Why did they get visors? Why did they get visors?
Because we're not influencers. The orc was
wrong. I don't give a shit. I want Cappy.
I would like to influence someone to give me a visor.
I just want
Reggie,
Cappy.
Filling my head up with a visor, please.
Filling my head with my Ario.
No, bad. Stop it.
I just want a visor to fucking throw at people.
That doesn't do anything in real life.
I'm gonna transform.
Just whipping, just sitting in a hallway.
Just an odd job, like that's actually what they're giving out this
year.
That's
very funny. Yeah. No one steal that idea, all right? That's my, I'm getting that cap.
The people watching on Twitch, they're gonna steal your Mario hat idea.
Hey, Polygon Video Team, don't throw hats at people.
No, I'm actually
see
like,
you, Nick.
Peaky Blinders, but Metro Kingdom, like where like Mario is like the Tommy Shelby.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, just a brutal crime lord.
I mean, I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think he's coming in there to get up close with Pauline so that he can, like, edging in and taking over territory.
I had this moment where...
You played that game, by the way.
Oh, no, I was just going to say just one last thought about, like, the sort of, like, the E3 crowd.
Yeah.
So, one, it's a little bit of a PAX vibe, right?
Yes.
Like, I define that just for, like, people, like, recognize the work we're doing. Right. And, like,
which is
super,
incredible.
Super
like,
nice.
It's so nice to be, like, this is the first event since... I used to be PAX East, a bunch of us were out there. But this is like, it's E3, right? And like, Waypoint is together, we're all out there. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have people come up and say, hey,
absolutely,
we love what you do.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'd say it's a little bit better than PAX, because PAX is like primarily a fan event. And so there's often this notion of like, okay, well, like we're kind of there to meet up with fans. And that means that we have longer encounters, and sometimes that can run into an appointment or something. Here, everyone's been like, listen, I know you're about to run off 30 minutes away so you can go play Detroit Become Human. Yeah. I just want to say I really appreciate your work. So but shout out to people, anybody I saw today.
But also what sucks for them is like, this is not a fan, not even them, but like, this like, not a lot of it is fan driven. Like, it, like you walk through, what is it, the South Hall, that's where like the non-console, well,
Xbox is over there, but not Sony and Nintendo.
There's not much going on over there. I walked through it in about half an hour with a buddy of mine and was like, well, I'm glad I didn't pay for this. Like, it's just
real tickets. I mean, this is the weird thing, right? Like, it's open to fans. It feels a lot like a PAX, but there's no community basis for it. It's an AstroTurf fan convention.
Right.
Now it's all the trappings.
Which is interesting to me because so often what you hear is this thing like, oh, our identity is that we're gamers. Like, games are the core identity. And I don't think that that's true. Like, I think that there is that you need that second level of thing that connects a community together that's, like, a shared sense of humor or familiarity with the same source material, whether that's anime or a set of comics or something, right? Whereas this is just like, oh, we're all gamers. Like, okay, that's not enough to be like, I'm hanging out.
Well, there's
with
not,
these,
like, think of, like, PAX, right? Like, there's, like, an all-night board game room.
Exactly.
Like, there's,
exactly.
like, arcades that are brought in.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're, like, things right. that, like, bind
we
different,
buy
like,
video games is not enough
like,
to create a community.
Yeah, I've been to E3 2017.
No.
Gotta buy that shirt.
Saw
someone wearing that shirt. Couldn't tell if it was ironic or not. Didn't have enough faith in humanity to believe it was unironic.
I'm trying to wear it ironically.
Right.
I'm trying to wear it. For real.
Danica's out here. Danica's living a life. It's someone's best life.
I think that over the next few years, E3 will likely implement some stuff to grow.
But like the panel stuff is somewhere else, right?
It's
like it's weirdly disconnected.
It's bad.
There's no way for the panels to be at the LA Convention Center. There's not really a place for it.
It's at LA Live. It's like 5 minutes away.
But I'm saying like part of the way PAX works is that like it's basically connected in the same way, in the same area. Like those are not they're tangential. it feels disconnected in a way that feels like very inorganic.
Right.
And then you have things like Devolver, like that are sort of over there, but like not part of E3, part of E3. It's just, it's weird. I don't think it works.
But I'm not sure, like I'm certainly not the person to judge whether or not it works, because the thing is, the way, like, the things I enjoy about, like, cons that I attend is that sense of community. It is that sense of, you know, you find people who share an interest, and then you talk about the games you played.
Right.
But for me, I'm there working, and so, like, I'm like, there's no way I would spend 2 hours in a line to watch this thing. A lot of my friends happily spend three hours to, like, play a game, and they come out of PAX, you know, that was their PAX to some extent. Right. It was time well spent. I don't know if people who are, like, hanging out in these lines, whether they really feel that lack of community spirit at E3, because maybe, you know, this is kind of what they're here to do. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to us.
I was just going to say, I talked to a bunch of people today, and everyone I talked to seemed happy to, like, be waiting. Like, they were like, oh, this is a long wait, but this is one of the things I'm really excited
about. Then I can see Detroit become human.
Right.
Long. Well, actually, you know what? Sony does, and they started this last year, I believe, like, one of the best ways, they have an app that you download.
Oh,
and you
reserve
specific spots. Yes. Like, hey, I want to go see the Detroit Become Human presentation.
Right.
I'm reserved for the 4:10 presentation.
Yep.
You have a spot.
That's the way
that spot
it.
Gets thrown out if you don't show up at a certain time.
Which
but
is fair.
Then all you do is, like, show up, get in line, see your thing, and you're out. Like,
right.
And that's, like, it's like, very seamless. It's, like, really smart. And... But Nintendo, right, like, some companies want the line. Nintendo wants
the line.
There
is something appealing in terms of, like, look at all the attention we're getting.
Exactly. Like, we don't have that many games, and look how many fucking people are lined up, right? Like, last
we're
year,
Nintendo.
It was Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
That's
booth was
it.
Dope, too. That booth
was
really good.
It was, but also, like, they make a show of the fact that, like, we don't have to try that hard and look
and
at all this.
It's a mindset that generates, like, routine hardware shortages, and, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
it is! Like,
we're
they,
not
they,
giving, like, we're gonna make you work for this, right?
Yeah.
We're gonna stoke that hunger.
But that's part of, like, their identity. That's
totally.
Part of, like, the fans also, like, are complicit in that, right?
But,
like,
part of being a fan of Nintendo is feeling a little bit exclusive, a little bit like you're one of the people on the inside.
Like, waiting in line is, like, hell yeah, we're 3 hours
it's Nintendo.
Mario, and you didn't get to play it.
Right,
right.
I put in the work.
And I got a
which is, like,
hat.
If that's part of your enjoyment of it, I'm not here to judge.
Sure.
Totally. You didn't get a hat, though.
I haven't played it yet.
Well, so I'm saying, you can't get a hat. You can't get an E3 t-shirt if you didn't actually go stand in line. That's all I'm saying. Anybody play anything else? You played Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, I played for half an hour. It was a little weird to have it come down to earth, right? Like, the game in my head. I'm not even saying that I didn't love it. I did love it. But it's just weird when, like, okay, here's the new Mario game.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, I'm playing the new Mario. And then just, like, figuring out mechanics. Like, it's not... I'm glad I played it. I'm super excited to play that game. I didn't want to play it. Like, playing in a demo form is, like, not what I want to do. I want to
sit down and play that game. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like they give you two sections, like the Mexican influence section and then the
Sand Kingdom
Kingdom.
Metro Kingdom.
Yes, and then you get to play New Dawn City. And it's just like, by the time I, like, started getting a rhythm, it's like, oh, thanks for playing. Play the other stage. Thanks for playing.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
And it's like, I couldn't grasp enough of, like, what was really going on.
Yeah.
Like, just enough. I don't need to be convinced to play that game, obviously.
Yeah.
But at the same time, not that it demos poorly, it's just, I just want to sit and play this game.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, maybe I need to go. I'm glad I got to see it, play it.
It's real. It's coming out
this
year.
It's a video game.
Yeah. Right.
It was very funny because the first thing I ran into in New Donk City was the jump rope thing. And you only need to do, like, 20 jump ropes in order to get, like, the moon. But I was like, I'm doing this jump
rope. How far did you get?
87.
Yo, that's pretty good.
Yeah, like, there was a crowd around me. They're like, we have not seen anyone.
Oh,
like,
you mean for real, not in the game.
What
real crowd gathered around you?
Yes. Like, up in, like, the private area, people were like, look, he's still
he's
doing.
Mario Odyssey kill screen coming up.
Well, so one of the my buddies who was able to get me up to that area to play it, he's like, I'm not sure if they programmed, like, three. Like you know, if they go past under, like, I'm sure they have. Like, we haven't seen anyone do that. Like, keep going. But as soon as he said that, then I fucked
it's
up.
It's hard.
I
it
ended
gets
up
tough to jump on those jumps.
Well, and, like, yeah, it gets where you're like, it felt real good. Like, that might have been, like, my
there's
favorite thing.
There's a moment where it's like, oh, I'm in it. Like, I'm just
yes,
in it.
Yes.
Jump rope.
So.
Video games. They're here to stay.
Mario Odyssey.
Anything else that we didn't already talk about? Again, we already talked about, so in other videos that we shot today, we talked about Detroit Become Human.
Yep.
Knack 2, which I played.
We had a long conversation about Knack 2.
Spider-Man. Yep. And
God of War. Which you interviewed David Cage. I interviewed Corey Balrog. You're working on your
transcript. I'm going to transcribe that David Cage interview and try to get that up in the next day or two.
Yep.
Then we also talked about some stuff at Devolver. I guess we didn't get your impression of any of the Devolver stuff, but we talked about on the Devolver thing that will go up tomorrow.
And some other Spider-Man stuff like that will also go up in a video very soon.
Yes, and
so,
also a podcast. We'll get that on the podcast.
Yep, yep.
At Devolver, we saw...
Absolver, you saw Ditto, and then we saw Minute, and what did you end
up saw Talos.
Tell us about Talos. Talos
the VR, right?
We did not talk about that or see it.
Are you a big fan of the Talos games?
I'm not.
Okay.
But I also... So there's not much to report. It's Talos in VR, and that doesn't really work for me, in part because Talos has a certain, like...
I really liked that.
That's
first
a game I should have played.
It went on like 3 hours too long. Mm. Like the complexity got to a point where it's like, where it was like, right, okay, so I know how this puzzle works. You just want me to do this one thing like six more times with an increased complexity, in which I'm just like, it was just like it was a little much at the end. But I really liked the puzzles in that game.
Yeah, and the puzzle stuff was it was kind of cool to be like inhabiting the same space as the puzzles in some way, and like sort of turning around and like lighting up the emitters and stuff like that. Yeah, that was cool. I think where it didn't work for me. And you played more of the original game, but for me, it's just like, this is not an amazing world that, like, I had dreamed of being in the stone courtyard.
Right, yeah. It's like, the aesthetic of that game was fine, serviceable. I was there for the puzzles. And actually,
the story was
pretty good, and the ending was pretty great, I thought. But yeah, it's not a game that I guess I can think in my head, like, oh, like, looking at the lasers, I guess could be fine, but you're probably all... How are the controls, like the jump forward, like the teleport?
Both modes. I only did teleport.
Okay.
Okay.
Teleport is the way of avoiding nausea. The other, like if you dual analog sticks, it tends to induce, even for me, who does not get nauseous in VR.
You still get nauseous.
Depending how they're developed, like, shaky can be bad. Well, I mean, like RE7 was like,
Briefly though, on Minute and the other stuff.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Minute is super high concept and cool. So the conceit of Minute is that your character only lives for 60 seconds and you can do certain things to trigger changes in the world.
Right.
And then your character just sort of keels over and dies and you respawn at your house and here's your next minute. Right. What can you do in it? And that was cool. Like, conceptually, it was neat. As a game, I was kind of like, fuck.
Wow!
You have to listen
opposite
to
reaction.
We had a high reaction. I'm not going to get into it with you here.
Yeah,
because I
better think of it this way, though. The game is only supposed to be 2 or 3 hours long.
Yeah,
like, and that's not like 2 hours when you're streaming together. They like 2 or 3 hours.
2 hours straight through. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
we're saying change your opinion.
That's what we're saying.
Change your heart. Have you thought about being
or die
right
in the words of David Lynch? Change your heart. Fix your heart.
You know,
die.
I mean, I do like some games like this. What was the
Have
Your Dark Room?
Oh, nope. Dark Room was also decent. Did that have a Minute thing?
Well, no, but like repetition again.
Okay.
Try this different outcome. See how that changes the world. I can sort of get with something like that. I just felt like I was treading an awful lot of water, and the Minute was so constraining that I was seeing a lot of the same. Like, there's an old man in a lighthouse who starts to tell you treasure, and it literally takes him.
No, we didn't.
We got to go back.
One thing I would say. The benefit that we had was, like, Austin and I saw it together. Austin was running it. And then we had another person in there, and I knew that person. That game seems fun to play with people.
We're like, fucking go do this.
Try this. I saw this. Like, maybe go experiment with that. Like,
what did that guy say?
It seemed like it was a fun way to play that game of, like, have a group of people that are, like, throwing out ideas. Like, oh, you missed, like, that turn. Right. Like, you could go through that bush. Right. So.
And then the last one that I saw was Sword of Ditto. Swords of Ditto. Did you play that?
No.
Okay, well, you can listen to the video or the podcast that we
today.
So soon. Check out that. And then Absolver.
Yeah.
You punch people?
I did punch people.
You kick anybody?
I'm not sure I kicked anybody. I did a lot of spinning around people and elbowing them.
Ooh, that's a good move.
Went a drunken style.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Like, it has a lot of the things
that
are...
We should set that game up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we did that video where we talk a lot about it.
You should set it up.
Well, yeah, it's an odd... chance.
That's called
we just set that game up.
That's called delegating. You write that down, kids.
It's an online fighting with like a deep level of customization focused largely on like fist based combat, but also you can like summon things like swords, mm-hmm. something. But like you can like go in and like delineate like your specific combos, and you can unlock new combos when you like fight certain enemies. But it's meant to be like both a PvE, but also like a huge PvP.
Right.
It's like Souls-like only in the sense of like animation priority, like
very deliberate combat.
Yeah, when you decide to punch or decide to kick, like there is a lot of
You can cancel out, which is a thing I use a little bit against you when I beat you at the end. It was like, oh, I start to throw a punch and I cancel out, and then you'd be like, oh,
you just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I did. So what'd you think,
Rob?
It was cool. Like I actually really did like it. I had a hell of a time like getting the timings right.
Yeah.
Like, and
punches have active reload in that game is a thing worth.
Wait, what?
You didn't know?
No.
Did you not get told that?
No.
No wonder.
Okay, so when your guy,
I'm gonna put an asterisk then on my win.
Okay, so when you land a shot, a brief like sheen of gold goes over your guy.
No, yeah. Never got that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you always do.
Gold, I'm saying no told never got that from the demo.
And then, you have
demo man.
You have to hit. If you attack again, you just instantly punch again. Like there's
well,
no...
it speeds up and gets more powerful.
Right.
So, like, as you chain
that
this together...
That explains, like, oh, you're calling these chains with you. Yeah. Like, why?
And, like, no wonder you weren't... You did very well, considering. Fuck.
My lack of information.
Very close.
But I never found, like...
The
found the timing.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing is, a game like that, you need to feel the
which,
timing. And I never did.
So there are, like, special powers for the different classes. Mm-hmm. I picked one that was, like, a dodge. So, on the right analog stick, I'm not sure how this works for the other classes, but on mine, it was like right, left, up, down, allowed me to like jump up, duck under, and dodge left and right. Is that the class you picked? Or
No, mine was, I don't know what the class was, but basically, it's a class that sort of like eats a lot of shit and then gains
absorb
health
stuff.
Back. Yeah, exactly.
They had good names. I don't remember them at all, but it was like the City of Late Tears
or
like some, you know what I mean? Like very evocative, weird names. And I did the third one, so we all did a different one.
Okay.
Mine was the one that did, like, a counter. So it was just like, you pop up an arm block and
that
the
seems.
Gets
I wish I had done that one. Because the dodging one I had felt like parrying, and I can't parry in Dark Souls. I can't parry in most games. I cannot quite get that timing down. And so there was a sequence. Maybe this is why I never learned this one little bit, because he kept saying, all right, I'm going to punch you, and then you're going to dodge. And we, like, for, like, 2 minutes, he's like, we'll get the timing down. And then I died because he hit me too many times.
Yeah, good. Great. All right, Absolver, Devolver stuff. That's pretty much it. Anybody touch anything else on the floor?
Danica's got to leave soon. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else you saw
to touch
or played?
Anything?
No, I didn't. You saw Tacoma?
Anything.
You talked to Steve Gaynor?
I talked to Steve Gaynor about Tacoma.
That's not that exciting, though.
Yeah,
like, everyone's seen Steve. You know, we all know.
I lifted Steve in the air this week.
Oh, that's why he asked me to lift him there. I'm like, I'm smaller, man.
Did he ask you that?
I'm frail.
Wait, did he say?
Yes.
I think I said
I had no context for it. He just said,
Danica, did Steve make you lift him in the air?
No.
Just,
no.
Okay.
It's an Austin thing.
I guess I'm not.
It's a me. Lift me.
Ugh. All right. Well, I guess that's probably it for our first. Oh no! You played Call of Duty, Danica. If you have to run, you can run.
I have to run.
You should run. Because now we're going to talk about.
Well,
unless you have anything to add about World War II.
What do you think about Call of Duty?
I don't have anything to add about World War II.
Okay. Well, glad we put it on the table.
Besides the fact that my grandmother was born in Berlin in 1940, and her father was a soldier in World War II.
That's interesting.
Okay, which side?
What?
Well, you know.
Okay. Bye, Danica.
Bye, everybody.
Enjoy your show.
Only half my family's from Germany.
Tell me about the sides. Tell me.
There are
actually,
Nazis.
We spent a lot of time talking about the sides in World War II last year.
There are Nazis in this game. Not your grandfather. I'm sure he wasn't.
Grandfather or grandmother? Which was...
Grandfather was...
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
There are Nazis in this
I game. Asked specifically
Good.
About the swastika issue.
Okay.
And I was like, what's...
Oh, really?
Yeah. What's going on with
Lean
swastikas?
It in. I like this.
Yeah.
Also,
and, like, is that the way I'm supposed to pronounce it and I don't because I'm... Like an uncultured swine.
What?
Say the thing that the symbol of the Nazis is. That
swastika.
What?
Is that
That's
correct?
How you say that? Like
or
shawarma?
Say, or like swastika.
That's
or,
what
okay,
I say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is it, am
swastika?
I?
Swastika?
I don't know the correct, look, I exhibit.
Did you make that up to make yourself sound fancy?
I make it a point to not exhibit too much interest in the correct pronunciation of Nazi symbols and ranks.
Being interested in history, we're not calling you a Nazi sympathizer at all. You know how to pronounce.
It would be terrible. It would be terrible to mispronounce.
I think it's swastika.
Swastika. Yeah. Okay. So anyway.
Yep. So you asked, are there Nazis? To set this up for people who
don't know. I went to the symbol store, and I was picking up swastika.
I gotta go. We gotta go.
Which swastika do you like the most?
To get Danica back on this.
The one with the red band actually is the one.
Okay, so.
White faces, though, on the swatch.
Okay, answer the question. Or rather, what
is the answer? Let me set it up. In case you missed us setting it up in a previous stream or video. There had not been swastikas in any of the footage. We'd heard from sources that they were moving away.
But there seemed to be a conscious.
It was a position about. It's a game about two armies fighting each other. Yes. Not about ideology. Not about Nazis and allies and whatever. Communism, etc. fighting.
Right.
So, I don't know what the deal is in the trailer, but he was very clear in the campaign. Swastikas are absolutely in the game. It's very clear who you're fighting, what they stand for, what they're all about. Like, the game doesn't shy away from that. He's like.
What about the swastikas, though?
Oh, no, they're gonna be there. He's like,
why weren't they in the trailer?
I can't.
I think that's related to our criticism that we were discussing last night of the marketing for this game is bizarrely detached from whatever the campaign is about. So, from what you played, who are you playing as?
I was playing a multiplayer. It was a multiplayer hands-on. Yeah, that was disappointing.
Okay.
I did not come away with anything really encouraging about that campaign in some ways. The good things I heard, I asked specifically about, you see that black infantryman in the trailer.
Yes,
it's like, look, that's a segregated army. Is he a major character and what's going on there? And yes, absolutely. Like, he's part, I think his name is Sergeant Howard. He's a major character in the game. He is leading a platoon of black engineers.
Cool.
Wow.
And
they don't set any of that up in any of the
promotions. Wouldn't you? Not to be marketing 101, but that would get you a lot of attention. Yes. Even if you just something. Okay.
It's possible that the marketing might be a little more gutless than the game. Who's to say?
Me. It sounds like the marketing is more gutless than the game. I mean, we don't play the game, but we'll see.
But the other, and in addition to that, they said that they're also not going to shy away from the fact that a lot of white soldiers serving in that army wouldn't react kindly to the presence of a Sergeant Howard fighting alongside them. Huh. And the game's going to address that too, where he's a major hero character in the game, and there's a good chance you're going to
hear. Come on! There's a something.
The thing is, I'm not even asking for them to lay that out. What I'm asking for is the pitch that says we want to tell a story about soldiers, about people. I'm going to tell a story. There's any sort of storytelling.
Yes.
Now, obviously, the video we've learned since that the video that was shown at the Sony press conference was a multiplayer trailer. Apparently, even though I think that infantryman was in
there. Oh, that felt like a camp. Okay.
All I know is my mentions were that was a multiplayer trailer.
Oh.
Da 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 da. Idiot. No one said idiot. Someone said idiot.
Yeah, I was saying,
But even there, I want them to try to tell me that, with Infinite Warfare, hey, we have something. We have a thing. There's a thrust to what our game is supposed to be about.
Right.
And what we want to do.
It doesn't make it good. It's just what is the perspective? Exactly. What are we following?
Exactly.
What is?
And this is where I did start getting nervous. I was like, "What are you doing? That's new here. You're going back to Western Front European theater, World War II. What's the new take? What do you find that was new there? And it's such a big war. There's so many stories. As we were doing our research, we learned there were so many stories in this war, and there's so many left to be told. And it was so vague and nonspecific and wishy-washy that I was starting to that started to make me antsy again.
I think that's part of the problem the way they set up this franchise, which is that is true for Sledgehammer games.
Right.
So, right, if this was, Infinity Ward...
Then that would be a...
My guess is Infinity Ward doesn't want to make another World War II game. Like, even though they had a lot of turnover and stuff like that.
Totally.
That is probably, like, as a studio, like, we've done that thing. We've been there.
Right, let's keep trying.
That's why they tried sci-fi, right? Like, we're going to try and go far future. Didn't quite work out. I doubt they're going to make a sequel to that game, but...
I still haven't played Infinite Warfare, but I hope they do.
I think it's good. Right. I realized that I think that game would have been received better if it was not called Call of Duty.
I'm going to, maybe this summer, I know I say this a lot this week.
Add it.
How long is that game?
Normal 8
hour
length.
Yeah, I'll set aside some weekend. Yeah, exactly. I kind of want to play that.
You'll like the robot.
I like robots.
And you will like the robot.
Nice.
There were a couple interesting sounding touches to the campaign. They were saying a major focus of the campaign
is... Did you play a campaign, by the way?
No, I just didn't show the campaign.
Okay. Gotcha.
And I forget his name, so I'm going to have to look that up in my notes later, but sure. Them on me. One of the focuses in the campaign is sort of being the squad leader. It's a very squad-focused game.
Sure.
And what is cool is, like, you can kind of give orders to your squad mates, is what he implied, like, you're going to be sort of, like, I don't know if it's going to be full, brothers-in-arms level, like, you know, giving commands, which would be awesome, because...
Because no one's done that in a while.
Secretly, that's like maybe the best like World War II squad shooter ever made. But how you do in these missions will affect squad morale. And that will like change. Like, you didn't get too specific, but like there's going to be outcomes for how your soldiers are feeling about you and your leadership.
I wonder if there's like individual, rather than those being like choices, skirmishes that can go
based
a couple
on
of
how
different
you do
ways,
right?
Like, hey, you have to hold this out. Like, well, we didn't hold out, we gotta fall back.
Which one
like,
do you protect? Who lives, who dies? What do you prioritize? Do you prioritize the armor division with your tanks, or do you prioritize the medic tent or whatever? Like,
and that could be interesting. Yeah. Like, all this stuff sounds like 1,000 times more fascinating than any of the trailers I've seen for that game. I mean, again, I also acknowledge I'm not the audience for those trailers too. Like I'm looking for something more, and so maybe that's fine.
You know, to an extent, talking to those developers, it does kind of feel like the weight of scrutiny if you're working on that franchise is so intense.
Especially
like,
with what happened with Infinite Warfare, in which the backlash was so intense,
so huge,
so concentrated, and specifically Activision never acknowledged it. They never tried to level with their audience. They never tried to say,
Hey, we missed it.
We think you should like this game. Like, try to treat this game on its own terms. Instead, they just said, like, it's a new Call of Duty.
And
everyone
also,
loves that
here's
shit.
The Modern Warfare multiplayer.
And we're not going to separate them because this is how we're going to get you to buy this game. Like, that because it's so cynical.
Yes. Yep.
There's no reason you can't separate those two things. You only do that because we want to boost the numbers for this game that otherwise will have less than expected. Yeah. So
what a bad decision that was. So yeah, did you get to play any of it?
I played multiplayer.
Oh, how is it?
So I played three modes.
You been up to date on those games?
Not really. Okay. No. And
what's
so,
the last one you played?
The last one I played.
Are you a real gamer?
The last one I played, the last like Call of Duty I got into is probably Modern Warfare.
Okay.
Sure.
Like the original one.
I don't think that's like unique
that
for like a lot of
fantastic. Yes. That's also why I was. I just got into the first Black Ops pretty heavily.
Yes.
But continue.
It looks great. The weapons all feel great. Mm-hmm. It's Call of Duty. Like, you're not going to be seeing any Battlefield style, like, you know, like
big
environmental
vehicles.
Destruction.
Okay. No walls being broken down.
No.
Is it still like the game of I turn the corner and see the man and shoot the man, and if I didn't do it quick enough, he shoots me?
That is super how that game still feels. So it's like the levels, the art is like evocative of a larger conflict, and like so there's this like point to Hawk mission. Where it's this looks like D-Day. This is like, you know, you're in these blockhouses and everything. Except it's like a theme park sized area of Point de Hoc. And where it's like, this is Bunker World. And over here is French Chateau Land. And you sort of like, they're like 12 feet apart. And so it's a little contrived. The new thing I played was, it was like War Breakthrough Mode or something like that. It's basically their answer to Operations in Battlefield, where it's like staged, tiered missions.
Like objective-based?
Yeah.
Like exactly. you're doing I jumped this 1, 2, 3. All right, you did that. All right, going to 4, 5, 6.
Yeah. And, okay. And so it's like you have to go take this communications hut that the Germans are using. Great, you've taken it. Better dig in. The enemy team is going to counterattack, and you better like build machine gun nests here, and here. Except that it looks like they're sort of preset where they can go up. So yeah, I don't know.
So it's going to be one of those things where it's like, oh, I know how this objective mode works more than. Hey, this is all happening spontaneously according to the systems of design.
Yeah, right? And they were pretty clear, like, framing it as, like, a palate cleanser in between, like, intense rounds of multiplayer combat.
Yeah.
But all it really did for me is kind of made me want to go play Battlefield.
Well, so that's my thing with this, is I just don't know that I'm... Let me tell you about a game called PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Mm. It has ruined other games with guns.
I don't want to say it, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
So I was playing with Jack DeKeat, freelancer for us, does a column for us, fantastic writer. And we were playing, and there was a moment when we were hiding up on the second floor of a building.
Looking at some stairwell. Yep.
Hearing a car pull up, you know, making sure all our guns are reloaded, you know, sharing ammo. And he said something like, and I'm gonna screw this up, but he basically said, like, this is what when I was a kid, this is what I thought action games should be like. And he didn't mean that in a dismissive way about his childhood self.
Right.
But what he meant was, like, there was a childlike glee in that game in which it looks like the sort of game that came out of a history of games that's different than ours. Yeah. In our history, Modern Warfare blew up. Battlefield blew up. And those are the two types of predominant shooters in the popular space. Where either it's the turn the corner, left trigger, right trigger that dude. Or it's the, like, turn the corner, lay down, left trigger, wait, right trigger that dude. Right, those are the two types of things. They're getting vehicles running, mm-hmm. right? And in PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, it's this thing where you're telling a story about the space of the house that you're in, and what doors can they come in, and you're telling yourself this tactical story about what it means to be good at combat.
But also, like, individual matches like have a narrative. Right, there's a narrative. There's disconnected
arc.
From like,
yes,
I'm gonna play 10 Call of Duty matches. Like maybe totally. There's like one encounter.
And it's not realistic. Like, it's right. not. It's still a cartoon yes. of what combat is or anything like that.
But that cartoon tells a story.
Right. That cartoon has a weird verticality in a sense. Right. Like, and it has this notion of like. I'm making all of these different decisions. I'm not just being good at execution. Being good at execution is necessary.
The micro and macro decisions you're making,
right.
You also don't necessarily know the consequences in a way that I feel like they're a little more tangible in, like...
Right, and also in a battlefield or in a battlefront or any of those, like, it's a big map. It's yep. very easy to be like, don't worry about the fact that my KD ratio is garbage. We win anyway. Or like, oh, I had my one good moment,
yep.
but it's not my story. It's the team's story. There are obviously other games here, like yep. we were being very reductive. There's yeah. also like the Overwatch Team Fortress model. There's all sorts of models, right? But that
let's be
model,
clear, there's
now,
a good one.
Yeah, well, and it's Battlegrounds. Yeah. I think it's also. I think a lot of those games are yeah. good, but what I've realized is like, oh no, I want the one that's like this one.
Yes,
and we're not going to have that for another year until people.
Yeah, I was joking earlier. I was like, I can't wait till next year when like every yes. multiplayer shooter has totally. Like a Battlegrounds totally. Game type, which is like, oh, we just people are really into walls that close.
Exactly. The thing that's like where the floor drops out and it slowly drops
something
in.
Like that.
The
yeah.
thing is like I'm almost mad at myself because like when I was growing up, I played Operation. This was a D. What's the game I'm thinking of? There's another, like, sim military shooter.
Oh, Flashpoint.
Flashpoint. I've heard of Flashpoint.
Yeah. And I got really heavy into the original Rainbow Six before it became Arcane-y, where, like, they're, like, making a map and a plan. It was very similar to Battlegrounds in that sense.
And somewhere along the lines, the Arma games began to look maybe a little too complex for me. The other, like, sim shooters.
The communities were intimidating.
They were. They absolutely were. Whereas when
I was these games are not made for me. Right. Like, I've played Modern Warfare, and, like, these games are not for me.
When I logged on to whatever Microsoft's online game service was, I forget what it was called at the time on Windows. It's going to kill me to not know it.
And that'll help us.
And I joined up with TDS, that damn sniper, in Rainbow Six. Like
I'm thinking, like, 10... If you remember 10, that was all the ones back then. It was not Microsoft.
It was not Microsoft. There was a Microsoft one. I remember the lobbies so clearly. But it was like, okay, this is an audience of people who are kind of not, like, they're aggressive and all that. But, like, it's not intimidating. I can get in and just do MS Gaming Zone. Yep. MS Gaming Zone. Yep. Thank you, Jones, got my ice cream. Yeah, and, like, now Arma is this whole other thing that's just like, oh, it's too much for me. But now I want to go back, or I want to like get back into that zone a little bit and see that zone develop out more, and see that influence games like Call of Duty, like Battlefield, like Battlefront.
And that stuff takes time, right? Totally. So it may not have like
we're two or 3 years out.
That's my guess is that we see game types next year that like reflect this new phenomenon that's happening in a lot of like these indie shooters. And then a couple of years from now, same with like Breath of the Wild, like there's going to be games that like say explicitly, we looked at that and said, what can we do?
I guess it's the other thing is like on the single player front, I became a Far Cry person. I became the person who wanted those. I became a Crysis person. Like, even the Crysis 2 is like I think a pretty underrated game. It's an all right. I like Far Cry. I like Crysis 2. Well, I so didn't have a good PC and was mad I didn't play Crysis. And then Crysis 2 came out, and they were like, "Oh well, it's not a big open world. It's little pockets that you go into. Yeah. And those are open." And I was like, "All right, cool.
Yeah.
I got a robot suit or whatever."
Not disputing that you wore a robot suit in that game.
I actually wore a robot suit in that game, right? Because remember, the whole story is like, oh, your body's fucked.
You're dead, yeah.
That game's all right. Anyway, Call of Duty. Anything else that they left you with? Any other big picture stuff?
Not really. Like, those are definitely the highlights. Like, the overriding feeling I got from that. Well, so I was playing with a lot of, kids, basically. Like
influencers.
Like, teenage, yeah, like
infant,
young influencer.
Did we both try to do infant there? Good, okay.
And it was kind of striking, like for them, because I was overhearing them after the game. For them, this was the Call of Duty that Call of Duty should always be. Right. And that's the thing is, there is a very purist attitude, and this apparently is like for the purist.
Last year, I was in a cab going between press conferences at E3, and you know, a lot of the like cab drivers in LA like are very aware that like E3 is a thing. It was a younger kid. It was in an Uber, and I asked him. He was like, "Oh, where are you going?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to this Sony press conference." He's like, "Oh, what have you seen?" And so we were going back and forth, and I said, "What do you play?" He's like, "Oh, Call of Duty." And I was like, "Oh, like, you know, are you interested in Infinite Warfare?" And then, oh my god, like, I got the longest. Like, I wish I had told him, "Hey, can I just record this?" Like, I love. He's like, "Cause you are like,
you're the fan."
Like, when I see the YouTube comments, like, I don't want to talk to those people, but like, I'm not saying you're a YouTube comment. I'm just saying he was very articulate. Like, had a lot to say.
Gotcha.
Like, he made that substantive argument for like why he does not want that game. And my guess is, he is that target audience for that game. Just like, I just want him to go back. He said, specifically, "I fucking hate Battlefield. But you know what? They're going back to something that like I want, and so I might be a Battlefield person after this." And I was like, my guess is that person is representative of a lot of people.
Right.
Like, he is a microcosm of a larger issue that series had.
Yeah, I'm really curious because, like, it's such a weird thing because I think as journalists, as critics, we want things to change very quickly.
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time with a lot of games. We get bored by seeing the same type of thing over and over again. I think a lot of critics put pressure on Activision to shake up the Call of Duty franchise.
Or to pretend it's being shaken up.
Least, right, exactly. To at least shake it up
in sense that it's being shaken up.
Theming, and to shake it up in some other key ways. I do think there were substantial change in terms of speed and you know, agility in terms of the characters across Advanced Warfare.
Absolutely.
Like, those are big changes. And I'm curious to see if they can resist that going forward. Like, if this Call of Duty is World War II, and the next one is maybe Vietnam, or is also another kind of older conflict,
I guess even a modern conflict,
for how long? 4 years? 3 years? Like I don't know, man. Today's purists are tomorrow's reactionaries, right? Like, there's going to be another move where it's like, oh, we've done this a lot. And though that will probably come from us, and maybe from influencers also. Like, that's the other foot I'm waiting to drop. Is like, right now, the thing about being a successful influencer tends to be a degree of positivity.
Yes.
And a degree of like, I'm here to root for this thing.
Yep.
I'm inside of this community. We love this thing together. And when we don't like it, it's about like a specific execution being off. It's about this gun being balanced poorly.
Right.
It's about a lack of a certain game mode. I'm waiting for someone like a Jack Frags, like a Jacksepticeye, like one of the Jacks, all the Jacks, to be like, this isn't good. I'm done with World War II. And to see if that sort of can happen and that those people can also put the same sorts of pressure that traditional critics put on Activision originally that like pushed them to try to shake it up.
What's interesting is that Battlefield partially, one, it benefited from the intense backlash to Infinite Warfare, which people were just
huge.
Like, ugh, like I don't want to do this, like, I've never played Battlefield. It's a different sort of weight. It's a different sort of play. But I'm going to jump on that.
Yeah.
Is Battlefield... Battlefield then seems in a very advantageous position to start, like, dictating the narrative, in which, like, Call of Duty is constantly...
Catching up.
In which, like, what are the we're like... But I don't know where it goes from here.
Totally.
But I do think DICE is in a position to be, like, we're dictating the terms of, like, where, like, the movement is from here. And Call of Duty is, seems like, partially because of the way they're cycling.
Yeah.
Partially because they seem rudderless. Like, with this actually Treyarch. Like, Treyarch seems like they kind of do their own thing.
Yeah.
But Black Ops has kind of played itself out. Yeah. So it's like, they can't make a Black Ops 4. So...
Did they already do that? Wait, Black Ops 3 was the last one.
Three.
Right, World War is in the Black Ops universe.
Yes.
Okay. I was like, there's four of those.
It's interesting because will DICE just make a Battlefield 1-2 like?
But also, like, let's get the context here. 2 years ago, we were coming off of multiple broken Battlefield games and Battlefield Hardline. Fuck out of here.
Yes.
The idea that Battlefield 1 was going to be good, we were all like, okay, yeah, sure.
It's a hard shift.
It's a hard shift. Like, and I just want to say, like, those hard shifts can keep happening. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see. I think it's going to do it for our first segment tonight. Yeah, we're going to take a break. We're going to eat food. We're going to unfocus the camera, and then we're going to sign off of Twitch so that we can go eat. We got beef with Bimbat.
I don't know what that is, but I know it's got beef.
It's got beef, it's got rice, it's got vegetables, it's good. Korean. We're very close to K-Town. Throw those
vegetables out.
No, eat them.
Oh.
They're good. Okay. They add to the flavor.
All right, fine.
It's going to be good. We'll be back, though, soon. And if you're watching this on the archive, know that you can watch a billion other things on our archive, too. YouTube.com/waypointvice. waypointadvice.com, twitter.com/waypoint, facebook.com/waypointvice. If something has not yet shown up that we already referenced, just check back tomorrow. If you're on Twitch, hang around. Maybe go watch the Giant Bomb stream. I heard someone was like, Austin, someone on the Giant Bomb stream, one of the developers of the new Wolfenstein, described their combat as visceral. And I like that I just get updates on when motherfuckers describe their gameplay as visceral.
Also, we should mention, because people have been asking, we will be on Giant Bomb
tomorrow night. I don't know if we're blowing up a spot.
Yeah, okay.
But tomorrow night.
Late.
I mean, I'm going to go around. We'll like hang out with them all night probably, but we'll be around there tomorrow. I think that's going to be it. We'll be back in a little bit. Peace. That's a different thing. It's a shocker.
Okay.
Yeah. What's good, Internet?
Shocker.
We are back again. It is Tuesday, June 13th. I wonder if I should tweet that we're back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And we're back for a little bit more Waypoint Radio. We're here to talk about video games, specifically those of the Ubisoft persuasion. And also, I think maybe, actually, we should talk about Ubisoft in general, because that's something that we did not actually talk about yesterday, because... So we went to a Ubisoft press event last night after Sony's press conference, and their embargo was like till this afternoon, Pacific time. So we're like,
we're free and clear now,
And that means that we didn't talk about the Ubisoft press conference either.
Nope.
Which is like worth talking about. Probably.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Well, it opened with Rabbids.
In Mario,
Miyamoto came out. Yeah.
And then that was cool. Miyamoto was there.
Yeah, you know, one thing I'll say. You know, I think when that game was getting leaked, that game existence has been around for a couple of months now. People are pretty down on the idea. Like, why do we want a Rabbids Mario RPG from Ubisoft?
It turned out okay.
And that's what, like, I don't know if that game will end up being great, but I think the idea that I come out of E3 going, show me more, is like the bar I was totally for with that game.
All right, so we hit that other in our Nintendo stream.
Yep.
So we move on. The Crew 2. That exists, and it's not the thing I thought it would be at all. I thought we were going to get two Fast and the Furious games this year. I thought we were going to get Need for Speed.
Payback.
And I thought we were going to get The Crew 2.
Why would you think that about The Crew?
Did you play The First Crew?
I did play The First Crew.
That's supposed to be a Fast and the Furious game.
But it is absolutely not.
Yeah, but I thought they would write the ship. I thought they would figure out that the thing that the narrative was going for was wildly different than the thing the gameplay was going for. And that they would correct... And they did, but they corrected the opposite direction I wanted them to correct.
I think they corrected in the correct direction. I hate that phrase. That's leaden on the tongue. Yeah. Anyway, do you remember how bad the story was in The Crew?
Yeah, dog. But like, do you remember how bad the story was in Fast and the Furious, and how good those movies are?
I don't. But that's
those easier. Movies are good because the characters are good. Those movies are good because I wanted them to tie this sort of like high explosive spectacle of I'm racing a car and there's a truck and then explosions, which they like never did right at all in the first game. Or the other thing that they could have done is turn it into or leaned into what I actually liked about that game, which was these little weird spaces in between big cities. The like, or even the big cities themselves, like the Strandriel of the cruise America.
Did that happen?
The Strange, yeah, it was last night.
Oh my god! We were up
very late last night. All of that was real.
The Strange Reel of America, yes. Which is very real, actually. That was my favorite thing about it. It was like driving to a place and like, is that a subway? And then you look at it and it's just called like Urban Fresh or whatever, right? Like
Eat Urban.
Not exactly. Fresh. Not copyright. There's definitely that. Those are my favorite things. Like guitar lessons and just like those are the things I liked about the crew. And I wanted to lean in one of those two directions. Either make it a Fast and the Furious game where the races actually feel like they have spectacle and crime and like the chance of something cool happening, or lean into road trip mode. Lean into, we're just out here seeing the sights, and like...
And I think road trip mode is where they're trying to lean.
That's not what I saw, dude. I saw Inception, but you keep talking.
Okay, so there's a stylistic Inception touch at the start, but... So what
you I'm saw like, a different demo than me, so I want to know you.
So look, like, the crew, I had one of the weirdest gaming experiences of my life playing that, going on a road trip with my buddy Fraser Brown, who
that's a Fraser
PC gamer and has written a couple things for us.
Yep.
We road tripped in the crew from the East Coast, from New York all the way out to LA. And I've actually driven past the beach where we ended up pulling our cars up.
Oh wow!
It was wild. The problem was the world was entirely shut down. We did that early in our time with the crew. There are no quests, like, because everything is gated. Everything is leveled. Because, God forbid, an Ubisoft game not gate everything to your progression level. Not have
some sort of tower equivalent.
Yeah. Oh, God, there are towers in that game.
There super are. It was terrible. They should not have done that.
Yeah, there were a lot of, like, crappy, like, generic, like, when you think of, like, Ubisoft, the things that make you cringe, all that was in the crew, but, like, wedded to car concepts. And as well as an Xfinity-branded race, which was awesome, but it was Xfinity-branded.
Was that, like, the one that did have big spectacle, and there's, like, the plane that overhead and all that?
I don't remember a plane, but it was, like, this race from the Rocky Mountains, like, in Michigan or something like that. It was this, like death race through the mountains, then sprint over the plains.
All right.
But it was branded Xfinity because, you know, these cars are so fast. Just like Comcast Xfinity.
Oh, I see. I got you.
It was really good. But... So what was cool about it was driving around this like small world version of the U.S.
Totally.
That was really cool. I just wanted them to open that up a little bit and maybe not wed it to the story of
a crime
Shiv, family. The man who betrayed your brother.
Wait, his name is Shiv?
It was bad. And also, if you look at the main character from the Crew 1, he's just Bryan Cranston with hair. The Crew 1 protagonist. What's his name? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
I want you to guess. But
Jeff.
Alex Taylor from the crew. Anyway, keep talking.
Yeah. So I wanted the story. I wanted it sort of decoupled from that story where it's like we've got to take down Shiv and his gang in a series of street races.
There was
races.
Like a really ridiculous name for when you leveled up in that game. We went up the rankings.
Oh, well, you got your what's the Detroit area code?
319.
Shit.
We're getting into the crew. It's late lore. Night. Lore. The crew lore.
Welcome to the crew lore cast, episode 1.
I'm talking 360, maybe? I don't know. No. Anyway.
Look, the point is, though, so you got your ink. Your ink for your bed.
Yes, correct. You're not going to have any of that in this, though.
No, and so I do question. So what I think is good is they're like, hey, it's this beautiful, amazing world. Let's go explore in it and race in it.
Right.
What I think is bad is that it's all done through this lens of now there's a reality show with street racing and the dramatic tension is that, yo, it's esports.
It's esports and it's like, likes and faves.
This is our chance to go legit with our street racing. But there are some old school dudes who are like, I don't want to be corporate like that. I still want to keep this on the streets. And you got to show that you can make this an Instagram-friendly, brand-friendly adventure, and yet retain all the spirit and authenticity of street racing.
Remember when I was talking 20 minutes ago in our Call of Duty, in our, like, day one wrap-up podcast, about how I was excited for influencers to start affecting, you know, like, being part of the game development process?
This is exactly what I meant,
was what if we got to play as influencers? What if we got to be a virtual influencer?
This is not the first racing game that does this.
Kudos is sort of similar, right?
Grid 2 did...
Did it?
Yeah, it was all about, like, your first race, you're driving around, and then you go to your virtual social media page, and your agent is like, great work. That race got tons of likes on, you know, fake Facebook.
Awkward pause.
Yeah, it was real bad.
Even the Forza Horizon games have a touch of that, where it's like, we're getting people who are into the Horizon Festival, right, and that's going to grow the festival, blah, blah, blah. But I guess the thing that I didn't get from that was maybe they didn't just want to resell off of what was in the Crew 1, but like, I didn't get the sense of scale in America, or whatever the map of the world is from that pitch.
I think...
Or the little spaces, especially.
What I'm hoping for is that you don't get that scale as easily because the world is bigger. Like...
Wait...
I thought it was the U.S. in the first one.
It was.
So how is it bigger?
No. What I mean is, so in the first game...
is there other places
than
the U.S.?
I'll tell you something about Donald Trump's plans for the United States. It's growing. It's bad.
Which way?
Everywhere.
Have you ever seen Akira?
No.
You should watch Akira.
You really shouldn't. It's like half of a good movie and like 2 hours of a dude going like, Canada! And then like...
He does say
Danica! That's it. That's what they said. It's like Danica.
Pretty much. What I mean is like in the original Crew, like you could drive from Detroit to Chicago in like 30 seconds.
Right. No, it was not 30 seconds.
It was
short. Oh, Detroit to Chicago. Yes, yeah. It was 30 seconds.
Those were the same
yeah. basically. But like, I did think that the trip, one of my favorite things was like the first night I got the game, I knew immediately that I thought it was bad. But going from Detroit to New York was like a really fun road trip. Cutting down from Detroit through the Midwest, into Pennsylvania, past Pittsburgh, into Philly, seeing the signage change. Like, literally going from seeing, like, firework stand displays to seeing premiere or primetime TV show fake, like, billboards. I love that because I love driving. I really do love going on long road trips and, like, driving through parts of the country that I haven't driven through and seeing that slow organic change from place to place, going through little cities or little towns, seeing bookstores, seeing cafes. And they're not going to sell that fantasy. They're going to sell get likes on Instagram. I get it.
Well, but also I'm hoping they're opening the world up a little bit. By the way, Patrick, the Crew has the most idyllic vision of the Wisconsin-Illinois border area.
Okay, which is like, what?
Well, it's the dairy state. And so you drive north out of Chicago, and it's just green fields and happy moo cows. And like just like... You know, grazing peacefully in these like lush rolling hills.
What? Because if what we know fucking hills?
Wisconsin.
Those are Wisconsin.
Oh,
lush,
you understand?
Rolling hills.
It's Watchdogs version of Chicago.
There's a mountain.
The Pacific Northwest of Oh my god, the hills of Wisconsin. It's the fucking Midwest.
Yeah,
you know, lots of places.
You can see the Mackinac Island Bridge from space.
So
with this one, they're going in this direction of, I'm hoping, like, being able to give a little more detail, get a little more granular, and, like, explore those spaces.
But that's all they're doing. What they're doing is putting boats and planes into it, Rob.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
It is. I don't want to race planes. I don't want to race planes.
I kind of want to race planes.
I raced that plane through New York, and that was okay, but, like...
Are the planes racing planes, and boats are racing boats?
As far as I've seen. I saw a guy beach a boat at the Ubisoft press event last night.
Get out, get a sniper rifle, like, and be like, hey, I'm gonna go find this bird house.
Fell out of the fucking boat, he's, like, dead.
Which was the physics in this game?
But, like, I think I'm... They want to make a game about... Okay. Well, here was the thing that I wrote about the Crew 1, was they forgot that driving a car was supposed to be feel good.
Right.
They instead thought, like, numbers going up feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And my bet is numbers are going to go up in this game. But they didn't convince me that they could make cars feel good.
Why would they do the other
things? Make the other things feel good.
Well,
They don't. They, like, I don't know. I played this game for 20 minutes or less.
No.
Than 5 minutes.
I don't think you're wrong. Okay. Like, the cars have that generic arcade car handling where, like, they don't, like, it's so generic feeling that I would bet you they're not even particularly distinctive among themselves. Right. Like,
cars are cars.
Yeah, it's all going to be
name,
like...
My name
is my name. Cars are cars. Cars are cars. Planes are planes. Everything in this place.
Too real.
Too real.
You know, it's just sort of, you lift off the gas and coast through most turns. If right. you hit the brake, you eat, go into perfect power slide every time. Yeah. You get on the nitrous. I could see that, like, I am concerned about that. But I kind of am cool with the world being more open. They have some interesting modes, like an off-roading mode where there is no track. It's literally just, there's a marker somewhere out in the wilderness. And you and the people you're racing against, just like, who's going to get there first?
Right.
And so it's like just sort of feeling your way through open terrain.
Yeah.
And then there was the Inception stuff, which I don't know is get, if it's going to be a thing.
So does that explain why in the trailer there's yeah. like the...
Uh-huh.
I thought they were just saying like, yo, we got the U.S. and you can see all of it.
There's a bit where you're driving through New York and then it's like... I forget what it says. It says something really silly.
But it's all the trailer for this, like, reality series. So right. it's all done in that style.
And it's like, we're about to go ultra! And then the whole world folds up. And you're like, what the fuck is happening?
It sounds good.
It's,
yeah.
It makes an impression.
That effect does make an impression.
Okay.
And like, then you're in a boat. And then it's like, I'm racing this boat. Okay.
And it's cool.
Boats aren't that much fun to... The
they do a thing in this that I did not expect, which is that you do not want to be in the wake of another boat. You like, you're like, whoa, you just like veer off.
That's not cool. But I just mean like generally speaking, I can't remember the last game I've played in which like piloting a boat for like an extended period of time was like an enjoyable experience. Totally. Like, there's no lanes. Like, there's just piloting an actual boat is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But piloting like a video game boat. Yeah.
Unless
you're going like all the way around like an island, like trying to get to like.
Yeah,
well, this is like racing in. This is like racing in the Hudson,
but that's fine.
Oh, okay. So you're like racing between like Brooklyn and Manhattan,
right?
And you're going past container ships, and it was kind of cool. And then like the city like folds up, and then you're in a plane.
What I will say is there was more spectacle in that thing that we played than in all of the Crew One. And so like if I want part of what I want is for them to lean into spectacle. Maybe they learned that lesson. We'll see. I want this game to be good. I want to get lost again in America.
Also, it's
the first line of our new Bruce Springsteen album.
Yeah. Also, it's so tough for a car game to do the Fast and Furious thing because
well, we're gonna find out if Need for Speed can do it. But you're right.
I'm almost certain it can. But they tried stuff like that with The Run. Mm-hmm. You know, where like you try these really narrative like constructs around these games, and it's just it's so hard to pull
The Run didn't seem like it was having fun with it, though, right? The fun was like so serious, Fast and Furious. Right. Like I didn't play that game, but like everything I saw about it was just like okay, like maybe loosen up.
It's
a
so
bit.
Hard to get the tone right. It's so hard, and like that's things that
Fast and Furious is like almost is accidental. They like stumbled into
it. It took them like 3 or 4
totally.
Movies.
Yes,
and they stumbled into 4 other tones before they found the one tone, which is like a weird blend of the other ones, right? And I don't know. I want someone to hit it, because I like those movies a lot. I just don't know if we're going to see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. We talked a lot about the Crew, given how short that demo is.
Yeah.
What else did we play?
At Ubisoft?
Yeah. Well.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Oh, we touched on Assassin's Creed.
Oh, wait, sorry. We should actually finish talking about just their breakdown of what their press conference was, and we'll talk about stuff as we hit it. That's what I wanted there. Transference.
I was going to go find pens. Can we set something up?
Fucking, that was a really good bit.
So, we were in between things.
We went to go see Microsoft Showcase in the morning.
Yep.
You had an interview with Phil Spencer in the afternoon.
Yep, which will be going up.
Yep.
And then we had to go to this Sony hands-on thing.
Right.
So it's like, hey, why don't you just stick around, watch the Ubisoft press conference at the Starbucks, and it'll be fine. And so, like, I see a couple things in the Ubisoft press conference. It's like, hey, you know, I don't need pens. And, like...
Because you've got to write some notes.
I prepare my questions. Yes. Like, I like to write them down.
Yes.
To mentally sort of wrap around. I was like, hey, I'm going to go get these pens, but... Like, the only, like, device
for whatever reason, all of our phones were fucked.
Yeah, like, but my phone was picking up the press conference, yes. So I was like, hey, I'll leave it.
Yes.
I'll leave it. It's like, I'm going to go with these pens, but it's like at this, like, right A that's like 4.5 blocks down the way. It's like, I'm going to be gone a full 15 minutes. Like, that's Ubisoft, and I'll catch up.
I'm like, all right, cool, bye.
Yeah. So I go... And go to this Rite Aid. I'm gone for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. I gotta wait in line. All these students are by the school. And like, I get back. I'm like, oh, cool. I bought pens. Yeah, you're like, I texted you and said I had
eight pens.
I told you when I left, I'm going to buy pens.
I literally came back. Your phone just said, I have 8 pens for me. I could have just given you that pen. I have 8 of them right here.
Well, I've got 5.
Good. Together we have 13. The name of the group was like the V8s, and then you went down in rank. You were V8, then you were V6 or 7. Then in the
that's
group.
Right.
Oh. And eventually you have to become a V2, which is weird and backwards because the engines get bigger as the numbers go up.
Yep,
it's a game about numbers going up. Anyway, Ubisoft. Then Transference VR game, spooky.
What is that?
I did not see it either.
It's about your therapist. And sorry.
Oh, wait, is that?
Oh, okay. It's not.
Right, Transference, right? Yeah. Well, so the pitch that I heard was basically Dark Psychonauts. You go into someone else's mind.
Wait.
Oh.
But then, so you're a therapist.
Yeah, a therapist. I actually don't know enough of them to set up. But I do know that I talked to a couple people who are like, it's intense. It's intense in a way that's like, PTSD is involved, self-harm is involved, there was no warning about any of that stuff.
Right.
It was incredibly intense.
Huh.
And, like, and it's in VR. It's a VR game in which self-harm occurs, and that's like,
sure.
That could be rough.
Right.
I've seen Strange Days. Like, that, like, seems tough. So I'm curious, but interesting to see.
That sounds different than other VR, like, things I have seen.
So. And that was the only VR game at Ubisoft, right?
Yes.
Okay. Skull and Bones. That thing booked up so quick. I tried to get an appointment to see that.
We got there at 8, and it, like, very quickly was like, come back at 11.
Yeah,
like,
and I was like, what if we did, and then we had to come back yesterday and record after that? We were up until so late last night already, so.
I still feel, like, wrecked from that. So, yeah. Skull and Bones, a game about a Yale fraternity?
Yeah, that's right. It's a fraternity. It's a secret society. It's the team. It's Ubisoft Singapore. Mm-hmm. They're very proud about being the people who figured out boats for Black Flag,
which was good.
Did they also work on it for Assassin's Creed 3, or did they only work on it for Black Flag?
I'm pretty sure Black Flag was
their baby, or that part of it was their baby.
Yes.
And so they made a piracy game, and
the demo at Ubisoft thing was multiplayer.
Yeah.
Is there a single player?
Based on the dev, this is again coming from Kotaku, who's like everything that Blank shows is really good. You go check those out. Based on the dev diary they posted, it sounds like there's a lot more in the game than just PvP battles. So
it would be Ubisoft doesn't seem like the kind of company that is for like something like this would that like here's our brand new like. Giant new IP,
I liked the ocean
here's stuff the thing in that game a lot.
Here's the thing that's really interesting is like they then showed this 5v5 thing,
right?
Which again was like a little esports, but not that. It was a little, good friend Phoben in our chat said, more like C sports, which is very good. It's a 5v5, and it's 5v5 with 5 ships. Sorry, it's 5 ships on 5 ships.
Okay.
This game is not Sea of Thieves, where it's like you're running around and
mantling the tackle or whatever. It's a dental ship, like on ship combat. Like,
it's what?
Incidental.
I thought you said dental.
Well, dental
ship.
Is it like a Magic School Bus thing, where they're like fighting inside, like, never mind.
No, they're fighting on the ocean.
Okay,
they're big boats.
I was in Sea of Thieves. Like you're off doing your own thing.
Yes.
And in the course of doing that, you may run into other ships.
In Sea of Thieves, it's incidental. Yes. This is 5v5.
Go fuck those ships up.
We don't know what the single player portion looks like. Right. What if it was? What if it was like drop out, but kind of that incidental style of like sometimes you see a ship on the horizon, you don't know.
There's some sort of like larger persistence.
Yeah. What faction you join? Like those are the dreams for me of like games like this, where it's like, what if they really took a chance on the structure and it wasn't just the story of a young upstart pirate who's going to prove to the world that they were the best pirate. Whatever Blackbeard says, fuck that guy. I'm Greybeard.
Right.
I'm Redbeard. Whatever.
And then there's a multiplayer.
And then there's multiplayer. Right. But. I don't know. I'm trying to sneak into the show floor and try to play it later this week.
Do you get any sense there's going to be more? Because I like the naval combat in Black Flag. It's cool. It also pales kind of quickly. Like it's not an entire game to itself.
But right? I thought what for some people really fell in love with that and like wanted to go after like all of like the legendary ships and stuff like that.
That's what was fun.
I think for me playing it, there was enough there that I could see them expanding that out. It wasn't enough for me in Black Flag, right, but it was a proof of concept for like something larger if they wanted to. And you know what? Like building like a weird, ambitious like ship game, like okay, go for it. Like that's also like part of the things that I admire about Ubisoft. Totally. Like no one else is going to make that game.
Like at this point, what have we talked about? We've talked about the Crew 2, which we've shared our thoughts on. We've talked about Mario plus Rabbids that looks like XCOM.
Yep.
We've talked about Transference, a VR game that's not like the other VR games being pitched to us.
I'm going to go and try and track that down this week.
Skull and Bones, a 5v5 or an open whatever pirate game. Starlink, Battle for Atlas, or like what I like to call it, my mortgage payments. Like, I'm never going to buy a house. This is a game in which I build little fucking spaceships, and they're like toys to life, but for me.
So is this like, it goes on top of the controller?
It goes on top of the controller. If you look at this trailer, it's very strange. Have you seen this, Rob? So it's Ubisoft Toronto. It's a sci-fi game. You're in space.
This was the trailer that I believe was in Watch Dogs 2 trailer
that like fake leaked or whatever. My connection fell apart in here because that's how it goes.
The hell of a logo.
It's sit here anyway.
Yeah, we're gonna sit here Rob, and look buffer. At it. So it's you have a controller, and you put a toy on your controller
that you like constructed, or
and you construct it. Okay. So you like so this is in the trailer that they're like. Yeah, we're going up against the bad guys, but guess what? They don't know about Starlink. There's also a really good visual design. The spaceships are okay, but the characters have like a Star Wars Clone Wars vibe going. Like,
yeah.
And then like, so it's Switch. And you just build the
Switch
spaceship.
Only?
I don't know. It's Ubisoft, probably not.
But that's also like, how else would you slide a thing? Like the Switch, like as a controller,
it does have sliding things built into it.
Anyway,
I like toys and I like space.
Sure,
I like starships and also spaceships.
And you like things on your controller.
I do like
so
to put things on
my
controller.
So I'm playing my space shooter.
Yeah,
but it's gonna feel better than normal space shooter.
Because I got a toy.
Because my spaceship, my micro machine toy,
yeah, but
is gonna be like a hood ornament
on
the front of my controller.
You're fighting these bad guys. And then you're like, oh no, these big turtles or whatever are really dangerous. This you know, machine gun isn't working. Pop that off in the middle of combat, dropping this new laser cannon.
That is a cool idea.
That would put on a fucking ram and rammed them. That looks cool as hell.
But I gotta buy those things.
Yeah, you damn right. Get in line behind me and my wallet. That's
empty. They're all gone. Austin bought them all.
I bought them all.
He's putting them on eBay.
No, I'm not. I'm putting them in here saying I own on eBay so I can buy more fucking spaceship toys. God damn it. I'll put them up on my desk. It's, it looks okay. I like the style. It's probably fine.
It's a really, I'll say, like,
it's also fall 2018, so, like, what? Who even knows?
Shut up! Why?
Who even, we're all gonna be dead by then.
You know what? Jason Schreier had reported on that game after the Watch Dogs 2 trailer came out, saying that Ubisoft didn't have full confidence in that game, and that part of the reason that it was put into Watch Dogs 2 was like, let's see what the response is. And it didn't have the toy component to it. But I can also imagine that the Toys to Life category is sort of falling apart. It's you know, it's not really as hot. Like Nintendo is only doing amiibos like selectively now. They're like paired with games.
Yes.
Right, but it's not like
amiibo.
50 of them. You know, like they're it's very selective on a per game basis. Lego Dimensions is winding down.
Yep.
Disney Infinity is canceled, and
Johnny B.
Skylanders will hang out as long as Skylanders can use to hang out. But it basically is not really.
They're like skipping a year.
They're slowing down, right?
So
it's. I wonder if part of this going out is like, what do people think of this? Do we still want to make toys in 2018? Like,
if they don't,
fall 2018 is a long time away.
If you cancel this, send me a couple of them though. Just send me a couple. Put them in a box and just send them to Waypoint.
Game on. Send them over here.
Game on. Hey, Eve. Fucking go on Google. Be like, where is Vice at? And then just put Austin.
Just a box of these toys.
Yeah. Also Lego. Just send me some Lego and I'll build some spaceships. Fucking Waypoint Build Club. Let's go. Far Cry 5, which I actually played that at the Sony event. But there was a limited
demo. It was just and
I played the longer demo at Ubisoft, which had like a little bit more meat on its bones.
Mm-hmm.
Did you also play that?
Yep.
What did you think?
It felt a lot like Far Cry. I mean, I guess it was kind of, I was, and it's such a small slice. You can't judge, you can't draw any conclusions from what we played.
Right.
But it's still very much that you liberate the town, and then you go and you have your wacky hijinks adventures elsewhere. And what it doesn't feel like is some sort of frontier justice America. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel like this dark Americana story.
I got a little bit of that in, like, a few things that happened. So the setup for this demo is that it opens up with you reclaiming an outpost. But the outpost is a city. There's a town. It's like a town of 43 people that's being occupied by the cult, which name I forget. The Project Eden's Gate. Yeah, because they call them Peggies. As like the slur, yeah. Which is interesting. The epithet, not the slur. A little different. And you get to choose one of three buddies, right? I wish they'd bring back the Far Cry 2 buddy system, which I'll talk about in a second, because I know no one knows about that. But you could choose either Boomer the dog, Grace the sniper, or the one who is tall and has a...
All I can remember is the sniper and the dog.
What is his third? What's the third one? Princeton? Ray Donovan? Side
characters?
Ray
Donovan?
Carl? Franzen. No, that's a guy at Vice.
China Mia.
Miaville? Is that him? Whatever his name is. Which is funny, because he's the second part of that quest, too. He's a guy with a plane. It's a guy who has a plane. He drives a plane, he drops bombs.
It's like a biplane, right?
He has a biplane. But I like that opening choice of just like, okay, how are you going to tackle this thing? If you have the dog, then you're going to kind of mix it up. The dog is kind of stealthy. The sniper is like a little mix of both. You can be like, hey, shoot that person. Or you can be like, hey, I'm going to shoot that person. You watch my back. Mm-hmm. Or the plane guy, you're like, hey, just drop some bombs on those motherfuckers. Distract them. I'll go in. Fuck them up. You got bombs. It's an outpost. I climbed a tower. The first time I played it, I got in and got dirty and, like, fought people.
Is this an expanded version of the one we saw at the PlayStation?
Yeah, so it's that one to begin with.
Oh.
And then it goes... And then the second step is, then you're in that town. Because it's not an outpost. It's a town. Gotcha. You're in that little town. You can go into the bar. You can talk to people. It slows down. There's people in that community. That it wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Is like, it wouldn't slow down at all. And I'm not trying to sell it as like, it slows down. I didn't meander in that space.
Yeah.
I was there for 5 minutes.
Right.
I walked around. I looked at some signage. I played a song in the jukebox, which was cool. I talked to an NPC who had some interesting thing to say that I can't. Oh, he was like, it was kind of a gruff guy who was like, I was in the Marines or some shit like that. And then eventually he turned around to when he was like, and that's how I got into meditation. And I was like, all right, Reggie's here, that's I guess. Good. So it's like, yeah, which was like, okay,
and
cool.
And now I'll run Nintendo.
What do you think of them rabbits, boy? And then you talk to the bartender, who is one of the characters, and she's like, hey, they're fucking us all up here. We hate them. You should go hook up with the guy who has the plane. I hear they're putting pressure on him, too.
The pressure.
Hashtag the pressure. And then it kind of like, it doesn't... It was a weird demo. Did you go off, like, off the path at all?
Not too much.
Yeah.
Also, like, the world is kind of constrained in that demo. Like, there's go too far in one direction.
You're right.
It's just like, hey, you're going out of the demo area.
Yeah, the Assassin's Creed that way, where it's like, oh, it has these barriers that go up. Okay. Like, hey, back to demo area. Come on.
So then, in the longer demo, you go to the guy Ray.
I went fishing.
You go to the guy first. And he's under attack at what's the word where planes get captured?
Hangar?
Yeah. His hangar.
Planes get captured?
Where do you keep planes?
Planes get kidnapped.
This game's like Pokemon, but for planes.
to capture an aircraft, you just take off your hat, you whip it at the airplane.
Exactly. And you go in there, he's under attack by the cultists, and you fight them off, and he's like, I want to get vengeance on them. They have explosives all over the place. But my wife says, well, if I go out and do that, they'll kill me. And I got a daughter, and I don't want to let my daughter live without a dad.
What if you go and
blow these up? And the lady I was friends like, yeah, okay. And then you go to go get the plane, and next to the plane...
There's a guy fishing.
And here's the thing that I did.
I went,
there's a fishing rod. And then I shot the fishing rod by mistake when I was trying to pick it up. And he went like, whoa! And then ran away. And then the Peggies heard me shooting a gun from nearby. And I came in, there was a whole gunfight.
Or that guy told them. That didn't happen. That guy was a collaborator.
I mean, if he was, that's actually really cool. I don't think that's true. That's not so. I think they heard me shoot a fucking AK.
And then the AI was like, run to those gunshots.
That's probably what happened. So you went fishing.
I went fishing.
Did you catch anything?
I did. So it's a, like, true to Montana, it's fly fishing.
Which is weirdly unique. Like, it's a different type of fishing than I've seen in any video game ever.
Yeah, so you're casting the fly, and you throw it out there, and then you sort of tease the fish closer to you, and then the fish grabs it, and then you gotta play it. You gotta let it like run the line out a little bit, and then like let it get tired, and you reel it back in a little bit, let it run out some more. It was fun. It was nifty. It's a mini game in a Far Cry game. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna be like, this is the one with fishing. I can't wait to go, like, I'm going to fish
this
every river.
This game has something to say.
Yeah, right. The thing that I want from those characters is not just... So eventually you can go into the thing and get the plane and blah, blah, blah. And you get into dogfights, and maybe we'll talk about that in a second. But the thing that I want from the side stuff in general is to fill in the sense of the world. Could you talk to the fisherman? Did he say anything about the world?
I think he, like... He said things, but it wasn't, like, directed to me.
Okay.
Like, I think he just sort of spots lines.
Okay. The thing I want from the non just random NPCs is I would love for them to go back to the Far Cry 2 buddy system, which was a system in which you developed a relationship with the NPCs.
Right.
They would pull you out of the shit when you died. So you didn't get a game over screen at first. You just got like dragged away, handed a gun. You fought your way out. And they were vulnerable. They could die. They could get wounded.
Yep.
You could, by mistake, run them over with a car, for instance, is a thing that maybe happened.
You're saying that you might have been involved in a collision?
Have you not seen? I killed my good friend, whose name I forget. And Kurambi Singh, and also a zebra in like an amazing double hit on video at Giant Bomb. I like, ran over the dude who I thought was an enemy, which is like in military gear. I didn't know. And then
couldn't you save him with medicine?
I was all out. And then I parked the car and opened the door, and the door just slammed into a zebra that happened to be next to my car, and it just, like, fell over.
I once,
it's very good.
Like, I once parked a Jeep on, like, a hill or something, and it, like, rolled a little bit or something, and it just, like, tapped. The zebra didn't move.
Mm-hmm.
It just sort of tapped the zebra, and the zebra let out this little sigh and fell over dead. Like, Far Cry 2 has the most pathetic animal deaths.
That's true.
Of any game I've ever played.
But that's what I want from them, is to be maybe a little vulnerable, to maybe have just, like, to fill in some details about the world.
And I also wonder, we were talking about this when we saw the game, like, the context of when this game is being released in is different than the context it was developed in.
Yes, they obviously started development on this game 3 years
ago. And I wonder if one of the ways in which they might be able to meet what people are thinking about this game is in some of that side stuff, right? Like, it isn't like the broad strokes, like villain.
Right. This is something they could have been a little more agile with and developed new stuff in the last year.
Like if they suddenly go, "Wow, this is what people are responding to," or even if they thought about that ahead of time and wanted to do that, I can see that happening more in the side stuff than in like the villain and like the main arc of the story.
Let's spin the other way though, really quick, which is I have never seen that many black people in a cult from Montana.
Is there a lot? I haven't seen that.
I'm not saying it's an excessive amount.
But, like, more than...
I killed a lot of black dudes.
Yeah.
And that, to me, suggests that we're going to get the version of this that is, like, unlike the other cults, we believe in racial equality, and also that the end is coming, and also that everybody who isn't one of us has to die. And, like, we believe all the stuff that's built up around racism in America, except the racism part. That part, there are, some people are better than others and deserve to live. They're just the ones who believe, who are us. It's just us.
It's Far Cry 5 to help a diverse team.
It's fuck.
Excuse me. We are not your grandfather's religious cult. Right, religious exactly. Millennial cult. Sorry, millenarian, not
millenarian. Different. Which is fine, and it's actually funny because Far Cry 2 did the same thing in reverse, which is when they developed Far Cry 2, and the development team has spoken about this, like a GDC talk. They went out of their way to make all the enemies you fight multinational, multi-ethnic.
Right.
And they're like, oh, they're mercenaries. He's Dutch. He's a white dude from South Africa. Yeah. Just like a bunch of people who are the enemies. Don't worry about it. You're not just going to go to Africa and kill a bunch of white people or black people. Don't worry. But you're also not going to go to Africa and just kill a bunch of white people either.
Oh, great.
Either
finally.
Way. You kill everybody.
Games are different now.
Exactly. Until the Far Cry 2 thing that was actually nice at the time was like, you literally couldn't play as like a white American dude. You play white people from Ireland and from Yugoslavia and from all these other places, but you couldn't play as like rah-rah John Military Marine Rambo, who's my OC, please do not steal, John Military Marine Rambo. United States.
Someone get on the fan art.
Right. I can't find the fucking guy's plain guy's name. Yeah. I can't do it. I keep wanting to say Ray Donovan. It's not Ray Donovan.
That's not that big of a deal, Austin. You can fucking let this go.
Donovan and Sons?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes. His name was Columbo. So...
Just say yes so that Austin can let it go.
You fly around in the plane...
Right, you get the plane.
...that Columbo gave you.
Mr. Columbo to you.
Mr. Columbo.
And... you know, you're flying around and you bomb some silos full of homemade explosive.
Nick Rye.
It's Nick Rye! Rye and Sons.
He's got a plan. I knew that.
Because of the chat. Thanks, chat. You fly around in this plane that has rockets and a Gatling gun.
It's a really well-equipped, converted Cessna.
So he was one of the characters that they introduced at the Judges Week thing. They dropped a trailer for him. Mm-hmm. And his whole setup is like, my granddaddy fought for this country. My daddy fought for this country. And it's like showing the plaques and like the ribbons and the medals of service from World War II and Vietnam or Korea. And like they flew and fought for this country. I never thought I'd have to. I thought because they did, I wouldn't have to. But well, and then it's like picks up a Gatling gun, hooks it onto his crop duster. Like, I guess I'm gonna have the Rye's are gonna have to fly again.
Can they explain like the larger context of this game, like how like just an outright war is occurring?
They shut down. Like, they shut down all the ways in and out of the county. That's their pitch.
Who did?
The bad guys. The Peggies have, like...
Okay.
Gone to the border of the whatever the road is.
It's 2017 and, like... Oh, they put up borders?
They also took over the cell phone towers. They cut them. They cut the towers.
Come on!
They cut the towers, Patrick!
Does that mean if you climb those towers, if you reactivate them?
Maybe.
I'm not maybe.
I didn't see any towers.
Maybe you just have to climb some towers.
The map is actually really cool in this. The map is, like... 2D, 3D. It looked good. That's all. I don't have like a big picture out of it.
I don't know what that means.
It's 3D. It's like a...
Like depth?
Yeah, it's depth.
Oh, okay.
It's like, oh, there's a tree.
Like a relief map?
No. This is like 3D. It's like a 3D map.
Okay.
It's like a tree.
Okay. Cool. Is it like in the game? You hold up and
no,
it's like a picture.
No, it's like the opposite. That's the, it's
your
like
character
the
opposite. Like opens a pop-up.
That would actually be the best.
That'd be really good.
Clever. If you open it, oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
What did I play this week already that did have something similar to that where... It wasn't just, I mean, obviously we played Sea of Thieves, which did have that map, but I played something else this week that had, like, oh, it was Mario Odyssey. Mario Odyssey,
you open
the map, it's a pamphlet, it's a tourist pamphlet
for
the zone you're in.
That's
good. It's like, the map is in the middle, that gives you like, where things are, and then, like, all around the edges, there's, like, really cool little notes about, like, oh, this, like...
Come check this out, like, hey, we're over here!
There are super moons where if you go to those places. It's neat.
That is neat.
Yeah.
So you're flying around, and a Peggy plane shows up.
You bomb other places, and you're like, come on home.
Yeah, it's like they're flying a Peggy 18 or something like that. And you know, they start engaging. It's like, the Peggies are on you.
Okay. Yep.
And the dogfight is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But also, the enemy pilot really liked to fly really close to you.
Yeah.
And so there were all these moments where, like, just became a turning duel, which is the problem that a lot of air combat games have, is they turn turning duels, which, by the way, totally a historical thing. Like,
oh, really?
World War II, huge problem. Novice pilots would lose track of what's happening, and they would just, like, start turning, because then you can, like, track your progress relative to the horizon.
Okay.
But, like, the good pilots wouldn't do that, because if you're just predictably turning, you kill. Yeah.
And also, the problem with that in the demo was just... I was right up against the wall, and so it was constantly like, oh, you got to turn around, you got to turn around.
Yeah, I had to keep luring him into, you know, the fly zone, basically, and fight him. And then eventually, because we kept doing these snapshot passes, the AI just seemed to hit a point where it was like, you know what?
Just
take fly
out.
Straight. Just, wow. Yeah, like, the game basically was like, you know, you're maybe not as good as Nick Rye would be doing.
who is?
Yeah, exactly. So this thing,
to his blood, after all.
So this Peggy plane basically turned into the aerial equivalent of like a Far Cry Zebra, and I just kind of put it down. But it still felt good.
It feels pretty good.
So
finally, that's gonna be that game. Like I
like that was already presumed.
Yeah.
I guess maybe I thought from some of these demos and the character vignettes and the art that maybe it'd be a little more focused on, like, look, you know all that Far Cry shit is there.
They're not going to pitch on that. They're pitching on that other thing, which is, like, it's been 2 years since a modern-day Far Cry game.
Right.
You're going to, come on, come over and blow stuff up with us, man. We're going to have wacky characters. You're going to get in the truck. The truck's going to have Voss. There's a Voss, like, hula hoop dancer in the truck. Yeah, hula dancer in the truck. And it's like, it's so good, this game. It's going to be this game.
Of course.
What I'm going to expect, what I expect at this point is, like, a handful of really cool quests. Yep. That's what would make it be a better one of those. And then maybe some systemic stuff. I really like being able to tell my dog to go, like, distract somebody or disarm them or whatever. I like being able to, like, I still like being able to, like, look down at this little town and be like, okay, how do I want to go about this? I did that town twice. I had fun both times. Did you play with the sniper buddy? I did once. I did sniper buddy once. I did dog once.
She's terrifyingly effective.
She's, like, very good.
I basically, like, I killed a couple dudes.
Yeah.
And then every 5 seconds, you just heard this, like, rifle boom.
She got killed in mine, briefly. Not killed. She got, like, put out of commission. Like,
the 90-second,
the demo. Well, I
prevented that by hijacking a bulldozer, I think. Ooh. Like, so one of the Peggy's rolls up in a piece of construction equipment.
Yeah.
And, like, hops out and starts shooting me. I'm like, wait, there's loose construction equipment around here. I'm just gonna drive that. So I start driving around this town, like, smashing into their
cool
tacticals
town.
And stuff like that. And I think they got so distracted by the guy who was using the using the rototiller basically, that the sniper just, like, cleaned out the town.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing, again, like, here we are again, like, talking about a Far Cry game in which you're like, oh, this is how I did the clear out the space. And I'm like, oh, well, what I did was I had the dog, and I used the dog to distract him, and I went up and, like, I was going to do the stealth kill on him, but I fucked up the stealth kill. And he just turned around. I was like, ah! And then I shot him a bunch, and then it was a whole thing. Dog? Okay. I'm glad you brought this up.
Okay.
This game, did you not see it?
I didn't play with the dog.
This game is the best dog pet I've ever seen in my life.
Everyone petted the dog when we were watching that demo.
It's such a good dog pet.
Yep.
And then it's so good. You have to go to its face, which is good, because that means you have to make eye contact, which is the best part of pets, in general. Like, hey, you're looking at me, you're a pet.
I appreciate the shit out of what I'm doing.
Yeah, you're paying attention. I'm a person. Sometimes you go through your day, and the people in your life are indifferent to you, which is not a judgment on the people, because people have things in their lives. People are busy. People have responsibilities. They have anxieties. Maybe they don't want to look you in the eye. They don't want to tell you, like, hey, I love you, Austin, for instance. But a dog or a cat that you love and take care of, they'll look you in the eye and they go, you're the one who feeds me. You're the one who pets me, who brushes me, who takes care of me. I'm making that good eye contact. And then in this game, you hold down the square button. Press square to pet. And you lean down and you start petting the dog.
It says pet?
It says pet. I think it says
you
pet.
You hold it down?
You hold it. Press. You hold it. It's a hold. Like a good pet. It's a hold.
Well, that's a hug.
Hugs are a subdivision of pet. Might be the other...
I don't think that's...
There's an overlap. There's a Venn diagram.
Okay.
And the dog leaps up at you a little bit. Not enough. Not too much. No. Not too much. It's not standing up on its hind legs.
No, that's fine.
Over-aggressive. But it leans up. It licks you once. It's right there. You give it a little scratch. It's really...
On the ears?
Yeah, of course.
Like, how long?
I wish it was...
any time? Like, in the middle of battle? Like,
oh.
We're all going down! Let's pet!
I'm gonna see if I can find... I want to pet dogs in video
Let's
games.
Pet is my favorite new...
It's my new... Everybody Pets is
everybody
the new
pets.
Sony dog petting game. It used to be called...
What was Ubisoft's Key Party game?
What was the golf game I'm thinking of?
Oh, the one that got canceled?
We Dare.
Yes.
That's a different
type. That's Ubisoft's Let's Pet.
Let's Pet. A game by Ubisoft. Let's Pet.
Go kidnap some planes. Go shoot those planes.
I'm gonna pet those planes. And that was it for the Ubisoft press conference. Except one more thing. The thing that you imagine every year. You say, will it happen this year?
And you go,
no. No, it won't.
Nope.
No. Turns out.
Yeah, I guess so.
Beyond Good and Evil 2 is in development. Michel Ancel came out and was like...
Literally sobbed.
And in a way
one of
that I...
the cutest ways...
It was really good to see...
He's one of my favorite developers. Like, the Rayman games he's been working on the last, like, couple of years have been exceptional platform.
Yeah, I've heard
like,
that.
Really, really well made. Not just beautiful, but well... Like, just
as designed.
Especially the second one. Like, Rayman Origins was pretty good, and then the more recent one was even better and, like, tight, very... played very well, but... I'm just... I don't know if this game's going to be any good, but I'm glad he's going to make it. I want to see what
that. I want that team to be
able. And also, he wants to make it, right? Like, this is the thing when we talk about, like, Half-Life 3, right? Like you almost
news for people.
You almost can't talk about this game without talking about, like, in the pantheon of, like, games that have taken forever.
Right,
like,
Last Guardian.
Like, Last Guardian seems like a game that was in development for far too long, and they just decided to finish it.
Right?
Like, it didn't seem like...
Yeah.
I'm not calling any bullshit on, like, Fumito Ueda's, like, passion or interest.
No,
development of that game was so weird and so bizarre. It was clearly a PlayStation 3 game that had PlayStation 2 roots that still came out on PlayStation 4. This game, like, he has wanted to make... Like, if Valve has wanted to make Half-Life 3, just don't make Half-Life 3. Like, just don't make that game.
Yep.
He wants to make this game.
Yes.
Doesn't mean it'll be good.
Yep.
Doesn't mean it'll be interesting.
Nope.
But, like, he wants to make this game. A man does not come out...
And go, like full tears.
Yeah. Because he's wanted to make this for people,
well, and
for
he's
himself.
Been making it, right?
They, yes. They've on and off, set, different on versions. Off,
right, for years, and has not been able to say that. Has not been able to come out and say, listen, my team and I, we've been working really hard. Please understand. Please understand. We wish we could tell you about it, but we're just not confident in it.
Like, you could, like, if you read between the lines in interviews, like, politically, like, things were weird between,
right.
like, him and Ubisoft.
Right.
Like, he went off
right.
to make these
right.
Rayman games, which were fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, you know, what happened to Wild? Anyone remember to Wild? Like, that was a game that he was working on, and, like, just disappeared.
It's a good question. I would like to know what happened to Wild. You could turn into a snake. Or a bird.
It was interesting.
Yeah. But, like, it's weird thinking, like, when he made that presentation for a while, people were like, oh, this is what he's been working on this whole time.
Right.
In the back of his head, I don't know. I can't read his fucking mind, but... What about Beyond Good and Evil? What about... I wish I could be...
I had to do something.
Yeah, I wish I could be talking about Beyond Good and Evil, too. I hear that game is actually in the air. So,
right.
I'm curious to hear more about it in the future at some point. And
I'm happy for, like, fans. I'm a fan of that game. Like,
I never finished it. I know there was a cool pig person.
Yep.
I know there was Jade.
It's like your uncle, right? Like,
the pig is
your guardian.
Yeah, it's been a long
uncle
time
Nick?
Since I played.
Uncle Ray? What's his name?
Look, I just remember
it
as, like, Uncle
What's
Pig.
His name?
Ray Donovan.
Right, it's a weird, like, pig language.
Yeah. It's, I mean, like, there's a lot of, like... weird symbols over
right.
the Ray
the,
Donovan.
In the human tongue, the closest we can become is Ray Princeton Donovan.
Tie in with Showtime.
It's weird.
You gotta fund it somehow.
Yeah, Christ.
So, Beyond
Good Evil. Wait. Because that is the question about this game. Is they were like, and now you can help us make this game by being our space monkeys or whatever.
Wait,
help
what?
Us make this game.
What?
Help us make this
they
game.
Didn't explain
What's
what
that
means.
I don't know. I'm worried.
But they announced Beyond Good and Evil 2.
This is happening.
I hope it isn't.
Like, no even year, which, even though they said they've been working on this game for years, which made it seem a little bit odd. But yeah, in the back of my mind, okay, being the cynic, at some point, and I'm not saying Beyond Good and Evil 2 is going to do this. I'm just saying it got me thinking, at some point a publisher is going to say, you say you want this.
Yeah.
But, like, let's crowdfund this. I'm not saying this game is going to do that. I'm not saying this game is going to do that.
All right,
I'm going to
read you from the thing. Yep. Join the Space Monk. All right, real quick, we should set it up.
I'm
going to read this in a second.
The Space Monk.
I'll read it in a second, but I just want to say briefly, there's a monkey in this trailer. That's why they're setting this up as Space Monkeys. It's a prequel to the game. You're in space.
Mm-hmm.
It's before Jade and Ray Donovan showed up. So.
Wait. Hold on.
I'm going to read this.
Okay.
Join the Space Monkey program. Be among the first ones to share in developing Beyond Good and Evil 2 with us. What's that mean?
What happens when we click?
All right, everyone gather around.
Yep.
Participate, inspire, play, BGE2 Space Monkey Program. The Space Monkey Program is our way of inviting passionate members of the community to be the first to play, to share ideas and inspirations, and to crash test, all of the creative... All
right, I think we can walk back our grades.
Okay.
This doesn't seem like anything like
this. This is not the time.
Hold on. I just find this a little ironic, given that Beyond Good and Evil... I think was about animal testing. Remember, they were rounding up the cute little animal kids.
I think it was Sonic.
Like 15 years or whatever.
No, it was the same thing.
It was a Sonic? It's Beyond Good and
Evil. No, there's no Sonic.
It's what Robotnik did.
Yep.
Robotnik gathered.
I thought you were trying to imply that it's part of Sonic.
I'll prove it isn't.
I'm just saying.
Where's Sonic been? Sonic Forces, you make your own OC. My OC is my OC, and I'm going to put him in every game.
My name is my name.
My name is my name, exactly. Someone's going to do a Wire reference count on this whole set of streams. And just that's going to be bad.
So
I was going to log in to participate on this. I don't remember what email my Ubisoft account is tied to.
Do I want to hit Facebook?
So
no.
It doesn't sound like they're going to ask you for money.
No. So that's good. We walk that back.
Yes.
This is like
I still think that will happen someday.
We'll get there. Well, like I guess
It'll actually happen in about 6 months.
Sega didn't ask you to do it. Like Sega allowed Yu Suzuki. Right. Like Sega owns the Shenmue license.
Yes.
But they allowed Yu Suzuki to do something else.
Right. Yes.
With it.
In about 6 months, Ubisoft like Eve is going to like throw on a video. Yeah. He's like, we must fend off this hostile takeover.
Oh right.
And I need your help to do it. To save Ubisoft.
I forgot about the...
keep Ubisoft. The Vivendi. The great game company.
The Beyond Good and Evil 2 is about...
Vivendi.
Real...
What if that's how he got a greenlit? What if he was like...
rally the troops.
Right, or what if it was like... Michelle Ancel was like...
Oh my God.
And then there's a smaller thing where there's like... there's a game company, there's a small company that's being taken over by a big company. And he was like, yes, that is the whole game. Make that the whole game.
So, like, Dark Knight of the Soul.
Uh-huh.
Eve is like... It cannot be done. I cannot fend off this takeover offer. Vivendi's coming for me.
Yeah.
And then someone's
him.
Like,
not the company. Him.
Well, actually, Mr.
Doctor Vivendi. Fuck, I forgot a game before. Well,
there's always been a weirdly personal element to this takeover as well. So like they might be coming.
I mean, I've seen Ray Donovan.
But so he's like, I don't know what to do. I have no cards left to play. And then someone's like. What if remember what Marshall Foch said? my flanks are folding, my center cannot hold. Situation excellent, I attack. He's going to attack by throwing billions of dollars behind Beyond Good and Evil.
He's a bankrupt.
Destroy
the company
so that there's nothing to take over. You can't take over a company that's filed for bankruptcy.
Ubisoft's Twitter and blog posted a description of the game. It's an online space sci-fi exploration game capturing the spirit of Beyond Good and Evil 1. That's not what that first game was, right?
Not really, no.
Took photos.
That's what I remember.
I played Agents of Mayhem.
How was that?
I forgot to sneak that into our last podcast.
Yeah.
I'm moving on about a few seconds.
I was not. I saw it last year.
Yes. What did you see of it last year?
A really long presentation that was unnecessary.
Yeah, it was not that for me.
Was there mayhem?
Not enough. It was so. I think people wanted more Saints Row.
Yeah,
I wanted more Saints Row. Mm-hmm. I liked when they mashed up Saints Row with Crackdown. I thought it was like a really smart way to evolve that series and do something different with it. I didn't know what I wanted from. I wanted something different.
Yeah.
And I found Agents of Mayhem to be trying too hard to be funny and it falling flat from a humor perspective. And then the gameplay they were showing, I played like half an hour of it. Like, they had like a decent chunk for me to mess around with. Just nothing about it, that part grabbed me. So I'm curious a whole year later.
Yeah, I played for an hour. I didn't know it was an hour long appointment and there was no presentation. They were like, all right, sit down. Like, I'm there with I forget her name, Kate something.
Right,
was a producer who worked with like a lot of the systems gameplay design people, and she was like, "All right, like we're gonna let you play through this one mission, and also just do whatever you want in the open world, and like fuck around with the base, and look at all the characters, look at all the skills that you want. If you have any questions about like how you upgrade characters or what the synergies are between, like go ahead, like here's the game. Basically, it was like here's the game. You know, 12 hours in with a bunch of stuff unlocked already." Go for it. And that was a really good way to play that game because it meant that I got my head around the bigger loop. I'd seen the smaller loop in their presentations and stuff, which were like, you're going to shoot guys and then double jump, and it's Saints Row Crackdown again. Or but it's not Saints Row because it's not as funny as Saints Row. And I'm going to stick to that. In general, I don't think that this game is anywhere near as funny.
No.
I mean, I don't know. I played for an hour, and I didn't see a ton of story content.
Even watching the trailers, like, it's referential in a way that feels like it's trying too hard.
So, but the thing that I think is working for me, one is just the combat. It feels actually, this is a weird one to say, It takes a lot of what I liked about the Mass Effect Andromeda combat. Okay. The agility. The, like, oh, I'm going to zip around to this other guy. You can do a double jump and you can do an air dash. Or, like, a lot of characters have air dashes. Some characters have, like, a cloak or something instead. Like, it gives, like, mobility abilities. And doing that was really cool. Like, I'm fighting this huge juggernaut enemy, and I'm going to freeze him with one character, then I'm going to, like, dash over twice, switch to another character, and then shoot him in a weak spot in the back.
Right.
Felt really good. The characters and the way they level up is really interesting. Because, so, if you played the Saints Row games, you know that as you get money or whatever, you get to, like, one in three, or in four, you started doing, like, special abilities.
Yep.
But all the way back to, like, one or two, you would just be like, oh, I get more damage. I have more ammo in my guns. I'm faster, I'm stronger, etc. More HP. In this, all of the skills are way more specific than that. So, like, there's a character named Daisy, I want to say, who's, like, a roller derby girl who has a Gatling gun. And one of her skill sets is just like, oh, she spins up the Gatling gun more quickly. And every character has specific skills around that stuff. And then, like, it gets to be almost MMO-ish or skill, very skill-focused. It almost felt like a Dragon Age game or almost like a MOBA in some senses, where it's like, I'm building out, this is not just Oni the assassin. This is my version of Oni. This is the build that I like the most. Yeah. And so for Oni, for example, he's like a Japanese, like, Yakuza assassin. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing is, if he gets headshots, other characters nearby, other NPCs and their enemies get scared and run away. Hmm. And so you start chaining those headshots together, and that eventually, and his special ability is, like, hit RB, get one automatic headshot for free. And so, like, oh, okay, this stuff actually starts to get a little more complex and a little more, like, I'm building combos between characters, like, freezing people. And that, I still don't know that the humor is there for me. There's a mission where you go after a, you're going after, like, a big evil, super evil corporation or something. They're called Legion. They're, like, bad guys. They're secret agents. Right. They're bad secret agents. And they're, like, the minister of greed, the minister of another bad one, sloth, all the sins. there's seven of them, I think.
Getting pretty serious.
Yeah, the minister of sloth, the minister of wrath, whatever. And I was going, yeah, basically. And I went after, like, a pop star. Who is, like, a pop star slash inventor named August Gaunt, which is, like, a okay, shitty name. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, a shitty, like, Instagram star slash pop idol who sings and invents new things. And, like, he's in, like, a living Black Mirror episode. Like, he's, like, everybody needs the new gauntlets or whatever. And, right. Like, and you put them on, and then guess what? You're a zombie now, right? guess what? Technology is bad. Black Mirror.
It's weird that the Saints Row games had largely mediocre gameplay that was made up for the fact that, like, they were both subversive and funny, over the top, and, like, just went for, like, took a joke and said went way too far in a way that didn't always work, but you appreciated the commitment to the joke, and it's interesting.
And eventually found their way into, we're all wrong, sorry, there has been a Fast and the Furious game.
Yeah, I was
just
saying that.
It's the same
Yeah, sure.
Right? Yes. Like, it's like,
the characters are great.
Even the arc in those, you know, of those games, like, oh, this isn't that good. This is a little, like, try-hardy. And, like, the second one's like, oh, there's something here. It's still a little,
yeah.
And then eventually three and four are like, oh, wow. Like, I love these characters. They have a heart. They're getting there. They're, like, they're finally treating their women characters slightly better.
Yeah, like a dead character that comes back.
Right, it's all there.
Actually, killing Gat is pretty crucial in that series, because it makes the other characters start...
The Han of...
Yes.
Pretty much.
It makes them start reminiscing about, like, what they mean to each
other. I was always
going to
be an Asian guy. Let's put it out there. Why?
Wait, Johnny Gat's Asian?
What?
Yes!
He's just a dude with sunglasses. I didn't
played by the Asian guy from Lost, Takim.
Yeah.
I didn't describe any of... His name is Gat, like, Gun. Like, I didn't describe any ethnicity.
Rob, that is not his given name. His parents are not from the Gat line. They're not the Gat family. I don't think. Johnny Gat lore.
It's Saints Row. I don't assume any of these characters, like, have a backstory beyond their ridiculous...
I could go to the Saints Row wiki, but I'm going to go to the Villains wiki instead. This is a wiki all about villains on the internet. This is our new series. Austin goes to a wiki. Johnny Gat... He's the deuterogonist of the Saints Row video game series. Good. It doesn't say what his... Johnny King is one of his aliases. King is, like, a pretty popular...
Notable Asian American, Larry King.
No.
Okay.
I don't think...
Asian Mayhem is out in August. And that is a thing that I feel better about now having played it. I was ready to like completely write it off.
I will, as opposed to like a new Saints Row,
yeah,
in which I was like, I'm in, I'm gonna play it regardless.
My hope is,
I want to give it a genuine shot, right. Give it a chance to win me over.
Here's what it felt like: Saints Row 1 again, in a sense of like, oh, there's something here,
right?
They need some time to get it. I bet of the 12 or whatever, 13 characters that you can play as, I'll find my favorite 3 to 5, and I'll ignore all the ones who I think have bad senses of humor, right? I'll ignore the ones that are just like a walking 80s reference.
And they have, that team has, there's been a lot of turnover in between Saints Row and Agents of Mayhem. Yes. Like, there was a lot of people that, like...
Totally.
Not because they were a bad studio, just like, but there was a lot of, specifically, like, mission specific to, like, 3 and 4, like... Yeah. Missions you think of that you were like, that made Saints Row Saints Row, or like that version of Saints Row. What I love, a lot of those people have left.
What I realized, I think we talked about this a little bit last night, I was thinking about dev teams and platform holders in like sports analogy terms. Like, it's a year to rebuild. Trust the process. You know, like, sometimes you just gotta slowly bring on new talent. You have to train them on the systems. You have to like get them to be comfortable with the tool sets. Throw some stuff out there, see if it works. If it doesn't work, or adjust.
Sometimes you're the Warriors and you get lucky in the draft a bunch of times, and then you get Durant.
And if Vivendi is
body, God, Joel off camera is like, hey.
And if Vivendi is coming for you, start tanking.
Start tanking. Fuck, God. Bill Roper, who was one of the developers on Diablo. Right? Yeah. I interviewed him Hellgate London. I actually interviewed him during the Hellgate London. No, it was actually during the Champions Online phase. It was close to Hellgate London. Yeah. And
he was a cryptic
student. He was a cryptic, at the time. And he told me something that I think about a lot with game development, which is like, I forget what game we were even specifically talking about. I was talking maybe about the Champions beta and how things have changed or something. And he said, you know, game development is weird because games are not small. Even like any game he's ever shipped, he says, has been a big production with lots of people on it. These are not little canoes. A canoe, you can change the direction you're going in quickly, or a kayak or something. You're like, oh, I'm going to go this way now. Whitewater rapids coming in front of me, turn a little bit. But big boats are hard to change the direction of. And so what you end up doing is oversteering. You know that you can't go straight anymore. So that means you got to go turn left. And then once you've gotten basically in that direction, then you can start kind of adjusting bit by bit by bit.
Part of my interview with Corey Barlog, who's the head of the new God of War, was part of God of War 1 and 2, left for a little while and has come back. I can't remember how it came up, but like, Jason Schreier of Kotaku was like coming out of something, and he saw him and he's like, who is that guy? I was like, oh, you know, he's the writer of Kotaku, he does a lot of these investigative pieces about, you know, behind the scenes on games. He's like, oh, did you write that Mass Effect piece?
Right.
And I was like, yeah, he wrote the big one on Andromeda. He's like, you know how many times that happens on every game I've ever worked on, every game that everyone's ever worked on? And he's like, all you hope and pray is that you're not the one where that happens.
Where that story gets written about you.
Not the story.
No, I meant that, like broadly.
What that story represented, where you weren't able to course correct, where like things didn't come together at the end in the way that you envisioned the first place. And like one of the things he was talking about was like, when they were working on like original God of War, like, you know, God of War 2, when they look back on that, the difference in scale then to now, right? Like, what they thought was like the amount of course correction they would have to do, like, oh, that was so hard. Now it's like exponentially different for like the asset quality, the expectations of audience, like where it is this cruise ship that you're moving. Right. And it is so easy to move that cruise ship.
And because you have to make those big turns.
And sometimes you can't turn the cruise ship.
Right. Like someone upstairs says you can't change this thing or whatever. Or the technology says you can't.
Or you just have to trust that like your gut is telling you we have to turn it. And actually what you need to do is not turn it and just like stick with it and see what happens.
Yeah. My point of all that was I don't know that Agents of Mayhem is going to be the one.
Right.
I think Agents of Mayhem 2 or 3, if they can get that far, they might have found their footing again with this new team, this young team. I don't actually know how young they are, but it's a different team than the previous
games. Right, well, it's a new franchise.
There's some crossover.
The easy thing to do is to make a new Saints Row.
Right. Right. And at the end of the day, I think I'd rather them take the shot.
I guess it's technically in the Saints Rowverse.
Yeah, the Pierce is there. Pierce felt really cool. He throws a grenade and he has like a cool SMG.
Right.
I don't know. Pierce is cool.
Yeah.
I liked Oni. He had a gun. There's a soccer pool again.
Gat, gat, gat.
That's in there now, but I haven't played it.
What?
Yeah, they just announced that Johnny Gap's one of the characters.
Like,
what do you want to
lower it up?
Yeah, Johnny Gat. Well, did you know that what happened, right? You
know I played those games.
Okay, so it's the last DLC is like set up an alternate universe in which I want to say it's in which the Saints all go back in time to an cops or something.
Is that how they're explaining? How
yeah, this
works?
Is in that side world. That's right.
Also, you know what?
This is their strange reel.
This is their strange reel.
But also. I want to say they're only doing this. They are doing this, I think, because of some of the reaction to this game a year ago was like, why isn't it more Saints Row?
Right, right. Which is,
and that's smart. Whatever. Like, that's a goofy series. Like, fucking throw in Gap.
Don't Johnny Gap.
Yeah.
Have him shoot some people and curse or whatever. What's weird to me is there's already a character in that game called Hollywood who is just Johnny Gap. And so I don't know that I need. There's some good skins. I think the game's going to be okay.
Is Saints Row anime?
Yeah. What is it? Oh, actually, in this one, it actually kind of is. Agents of Mayhem has, like, it gave me a vibe of, like, MTV late night cartoon, like the Spawn series or, like, a Peter Chung and Flux style thing, where, like, all the characters, all the main story beats are hit in animation. Where it's like the Oni one was like a dude going to get revenge. The Yakuza has a fucking Oni mask on. And it's just like nice animation. Like, it's not perfect. It's not the best animation I've ever seen. But the whole thing had this very like adult cartoon from the late 90s, early 2000s vibe. You know what I mean? So,
hang on.
It's anime.
I have a very urgent question.
Yeah.
Isn't there an actor in Saints Row the Third that shows up to like
hang Ray out? Ray Donovan, with it? I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Burt Reynolds, right?
Yes.
Burt Reynolds. It plays Burt Reynolds.
Yes.
And then there's another one, of course. And four. Keith David.
Oh, that's right.
Keith David is in four.
That's actually...
Keith
David
was in every video game for a stretch there, and then...
And he's gone.
I haven't heard of Keith. What's up, Keith?
I miss Keith. Keith is in some good-ass video games.
Yeah.
But like, he's got
a great voice.
He's a fantastic voice.
So there's kind of the Hollywood actor dude in Agents of Mayhem, but it's not that actor dude
named Hollywood.
Okay.
No, I wish it was. I wish it
that,
was.
That'd actually be cool.
Is Burt Reynolds good?
Like,
is Burt Reynolds a milkshake duck?
Well, wait. Well, no. Hold on. You're thinking about somebody else.
Wait, who are you talking about?
So, yes, I remember now. Burt Reynolds is
the mayor.
The mayor, yeah. No, I'm talking about
Isn't Roddy Roddy Piper in?
He's in one of them. Gary Busey's in one of them.
He's
a milkshake duck.
In Saints Row the Third.
Yep.
The third one.
Yes. Colin, the third one. The opening mission is there's somebody who's like a method actor who's like learning to be Johnny Gat, and you're taking him on a heist, and he totally
sucks.
That's
the second game, isn't it? Is that the third game? The third game opens
I never
you,
played the second game.
I don't think I played Saints Row 1 or 2.
Three opens.
I didn't play 1 or 2 because I remember being a giant bomb, and like Jeff and Ryan both were like, everyone, we're going to do a game of the year. You guys need to play Saints Row the Third. I don't. Like, shut the fuck up. Right. I don't need to play that game. You need to play the game or else it's going to be a weird discussion.
I'm Googling Saints
Row. Yeah, so Bruno's in chat saying this is the opening of Saints Row the Third.
Shout out to...
Oh, so the third, but not two.
Josh Burke.
Josh Burke.
Okay.
Whoever that is sucks.
Yeah, Nightblade. Yeah.
Oh, Nightblade.
You remember
it's
that?
It's a fake TV show.
Yeah, I do remember Nightblade. How did you forget about Nightblade?
Okay.
Nightblade's all right. That guy was like what if Batman, what if Mantis, the old TV show, had a sword?
Wow, that is a callback.
We should watch Mantis. That show was all right.
Should we?
Join us after this where we're going to start episode one of our Mantis episode.
Mantis Wakia. Because you think Mantis has a... Here's my new thing. If you have a Wikia, you've made it.
Wait, a Wikia?
Like a Wikia.
No, because there's layers. Like, you can get a Wikia before you get a Wikia.
You do get a Wikia before you... What I'm going to say
anyone can get a Wikia.
Mantis does not. There's no Mantis Wikia, even.
What's Mantis doing in Ark Survival Evolved?
That's a different Mantis.
Like an actual Mantis?
That's probably just a regular-ass Mantis. You know what I'm talking about, the TV show, the superhero
show. Yeah.
Okay. He's all right. He's black. He was a conservative. I read a lot about Mantis recently. Like 6 months ago, and I'm realizing now. Yeah, I don't remember which Wikipedia page, but I'm remembering now that I remember more of the facts about that show than I thought I would having read that thing 6 months ago. He was like a like a neocon, like a black neocon. But then as Mantis, he was like helping poor people, and like wasn't a neocon. It was a cover.
Wait,
the neocon. Or the
so wait, whoa. So like by day,
by day he was practicing like respectability politics. Yeah. 100%. Like and then, had a bow tie on.
Okay.
Yes. But also was in a wheelchair. But then his Mantis suit like gave him superpowers.
Is it like an alien suit?
Alien suit. What?
Here's the thing.
Where do the powers come from?
It's like an Iron Man suit.
Oh. Okay.
It stands for something. Mechanically augmented neurotransmitter interception system.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Obviously, you're not real.
You
fans.
Didn't read that off a Wikipedia page. That just came
that
out.
That just came out. Gina Torres was in that, by the way. It's a fact I know about Mantis.
It's definitely not in front of me right question, now.
Though. Yeah.
Him by night, like doing good, virtuous stuff, isn't incompatible with him being a respectability politics guy, right? Like he could still be like, I'm gonna. No. By night, I help the good people of the city. And punish those who...
No, but I think I remember reading that it was a front. Like, okay. It was actually, he was like, poor people and black and brown people need to stick together.
Okay, guys.
Are we off the plot? Is Mantis an agent of Mantis?
So is Nightblade an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, I don't
S.H.I.E.L.D.
think...
Sorry.
No, he's not an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sorry.
Agents of Mayhem, Nightblade.
Mantis of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mantis. I don't see it. Doesn't look all like right. it. Good. Weird. Yes, Nightblade is primarily rogue. Stop saying otherwise. Is that a... Oh, it's an Elder Scrolls thing. I thought it was a MOBA thing. I think it's going to do it for
yep.
us.
Yeah. Yep.
That was our...
Reading, we... Nope.
That was our Ubisoft and also this Agents of Mayhem episode.
And also Mantis. And
this
also
is the
Mantis.
Second or third time our E3 coverage has become... looking stuff up in wikis.
What's his real name, I wonder?
Mantis?
Yeah. I know I'm a big fan of all that, but... Dr. Hawkins. Good name. You can find everything we do at waypoint.vice.com. You can go to youtube.com/waypointvice. You can find us on your podcatcher of choice, whether that's a Stitcher or an Apple iTunes music podcast app.
Mantis.
You can go to Mantis, just do a search for Waypoint, we'll probably show up.
It's good on that SEO.
By day, it's iTunes. By night, it's Overcast.
Yep, exactly. Find us at twitter.com/waypoint. It's really hard to say twitter.com/mantis.
What is that?
Who's on twitter.com/mantis?
Yeah.
Who could it be? This is... Okay. We're looking at the internet now, and we need to just...
Where can people...
Stop.
Speaking of the internet...
All right, I'm just reading one tweet.
Yep.
Whoa, never really listened to Rihanna, but this track is pretty bad. Ah. And then $2 signs.
Yep.
A little dark.
And tough.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back. We will be back after we've slept a whole bunch.
I'm so tired.
No, we're coming back at 3 a.m. tonight, right?
To watch her Mantis watch through. Absolutely. We'll be back tomorrow with more stuff. If you have questions, you can send them to us at gamingadvice.com.
Sure can.
We'll try to answer them by the end of E3. They should be about E3, also the questions in general.
Okay.
And we will be on the Giant Bomb stream tomorrow night after we do this podcast, hopefully way earlier.
Yep.
And after we've slept some.
What are people seeing tomorrow? Like as a...
Yeah, as a little preview, as a hot... Let's take a look here. Mantis.
I'm seeing... The game, Days Gone.
Days Gone, the zombie game.
Yep.
So if people have questions about that, for you, hit you up at twitter.com/Patrick.
I think also, I like last minute, what?
I see The Last Night tomorrow.
Oh shit, do you?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Did I book that for you?
No, I booked it.
Well.
Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I got a lot.
Is there anything you would like to ask?
Tomorrow morning, I booked some last minute stuff. I'm going to go see that Moss. That
cool.
Not rabbit, a little mouse.
It's a mouse. Moss mouse.
Moss mouse.
It was Quill, I think.
Yes.
Peter Quill? Is that the mouse?
No, that's Guardians of the Galaxy. Peter Quill?
Yeah, is that the mouse?
I don't think, no.
What's the mouse in Guardians
Peter
of the Galaxy?
Peter Quill was the Marquis de Sade.
Oh, right. That's
the mouse,
right.
The mouse and Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah. I'm going to see State of Decay 2, which I'm very excited about. And then
And then I'm going to see, I think, something like Frostpunk, which looks cool, which is the game by the...
Is that a new aesthetic?
Frostpunk's the new aesthetic.
Sweet.
Once global warming hits, and then we get a new Ice Age, let me tell you, all Frostpunk. It's actually the new game by the... this is Warmind devs. Yeah. And then another thing from that same publisher, a game about... It felt like a Wrecketeer-style thing of like... not Dave Lang's Wrecketeer. The anime selling one. Do you want to pass that a different way? Like Wrecketeer or something, probably?
Yeah, Wrecketeer is fine, but like there's a different Wrecketeer?
There are two... There,
there's a
or are you saying it's the same game and that people have radically different experiences with him?
Those would be so radically different.
Okay.
There's Dave Lang's Wrecketeer.
The official name.
The official name, of course. Dave Lang, apostrophe S's, Wrecketeer. And then there's Wrecketeer, that game I bought on Steam years ago, which you're an anime lady who sells stuff and goes on adventures.
I hear that game is great. I meant to play it for about 6 years.
The one that's like Capitalism Ho, that one. Yeah, yeah, I've never played it. Neither. This one's more like the one with the selling of capitalism stuff, not the one that's...
The selling of capitalism stuff. I mean, you just mean the practice of capitalism.
Okay, all right.
So you're selling capitalism.
You're just seeing Kingdom Come tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which also has some...
Yeah, you've got a real fucking banger lineup tomorrow.
You're starting
questionable on social media practices.
You're starting on F1, though, so that'll be fun.
Nothing the Waypoint audience loves more than detailed Formula One racing discussions.
1,200 words tomorrow, end of day.
Find out if they have that cool e-racing shit.
They won't, but they should. Formula E? That'd be
Formula
cool.
E, there it is. E-racing.
E-racing.
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, what does that mean?
Don't call it e-racing. We're trying to get away from the E in e-racing. It's just erasing. It's just erasing.
Is it erasing?
We need to erase ourselves
we
in this
do.
Podcast.
Let's head out of here. I'm going to go
done. No more calendars.
Goddamn bed.
I need to get out of discourse. That's it.
I got to go. Let's get out of here. Peter Quill Wikipedia page.
Star Wars. That's the mouse.
Stop
name.
It. Just turn
talk to you all tomorrow.
Did you say Star Wars?
No. Turn up. Stop.
Bye.
I'm out.
Bye, Internet.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.